Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Wednesday. It's October 3rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, just several months after retail giant Toys R Us shuttered its operation and liquidated its doors, new owners are staging a comeback.
Whoa!
The Wall Street Journal first reported Tuesday that lenders who now own the iconic toy store have canceled plans to auction off the company, according to a bankruptcy court filing acquired by the paper. According to the court papers filed Monday, while the company received qualified bids for assets, including the brand names of Toys R Us, Babies R Us, Jeffrey the Giraffe, and the associated website domains, it has opted to forego the bankruptcy auction. Woo! In a press release, the company says it is moving forward with a plan for the assets to be acquired by a group of investors led by Jeffrey's LLC, existing secured lenders. The transition of the business is to its new owners is pending approval of the United States Bankruptcy Court. So what this means, the new owners of Jeffrey LLC say that they are actively working with potential partners to develop ideas for new Toys R Us and Babies R Us stores in the United States and abroad, and could bring back the iconic brands in a new and reimagined way.
Yeah, I think there's opportunity there, especially if they became just so comprehensively toy based and tech toy based, you know, but also with a large online counterpart, like, because they did have an online component,
but it was terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Toys R Us website was terrible.
Amazon crushed it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they crushed it. It was terrible. The shipping took forever, and yeah, it was no good. But
if they could be an ultra comprehensive toy aspect like an Amazon,
be a competitor.
Yeah, they would.
I laughed though when I heard this. After all that, and now it's coming back. Yeah,
I knew it.
I was talking to somebody over the summer.
I said it in my prayers every night.
But maybe it was my cousin who said that. Whatever, you know, this announcement came down, it's not going away, that this was like some sort of...
Reorganization?
It was a business move to begin with.
Yeah, of course.
Well, if this was the original plan, mm-hmm. though, I feel like somebody's going to get in trouble. Like, they shut down, liquidated everything, and they're going to reopen. I think this is the new owner's plan.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, and whatever, if it creates jobs or whatever,
that's
I don't know.
That's what I was saying. Why then, if this was the original plan, I mean, all those people lost their jobs.
I don't know. I mean, you know, we can't know for certain what actually happened between the time that they were, you know, shutting down the stores and clearing all that inventory out and now.
Back in June, low sales over recent years led to the closing of several stores, including the iconic flagship store in Times Square. The company filed for bankruptcy in 2017, and in March of 2018, the company announced that all 740 of its U.S. stores would be closing.
But now that giraffes are killing people with their necks, it might be time to change
your mascot.
It might be time to change the mascot.
The closing was attributed to poor holiday sales performance, a shift to more playtime on mobile devices, and competition from online and discount stores. Don't be surprised if you get a text message from the White House today. The government is testing a new nationwide alert system that would let presidents send out emergency messages to phones all over the country. The Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Federal Communications Commission will test wireless emergency alerts and the emergency alert system on Wednesday, October 3rd, which is today.
I got a text yesterday from the White House. It was Trump asking him if he could slide into my DMs.
Oh, and?
Did you let him?
I let him. Why not?
Well, you don't ask that. You just do it. You just slide in.
Mm-hmm. Protocol.
The test alert will be sent to cell phones connected to participating wireless providers at 2:18 Eastern Daylight Time, and the message will say, "Presidential alert, this is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed."
The audio alert will be bing, bing, bong, bong.
Bing, bing, bong, bong.
When you hear that, you'll know. It's like the tones that we
play
for emergency.
Right.
When you need that. Listen, look at how hard it is for me to find that thing here.
Bing,
now.
Bing, bong, bong.
It was just standard. There we go.
Well, that one would be good,
that's
too.
A good one.
While not everyone will receive the message, phones that do should only receive it once with a special tone and vibration that people will recognize, FEMA said.
So that's twice a day, and it's going to be a little trivia game?
No. What?
That's HQ.
You weren't paying attention.
Scott Rogowski.
The wireless emergency
alert. Which is the capital city of India?
Alert system is currently used to warn the public about dangerous weather, missing children, and other critical situations. The president would be able to use the system to send alerts if there was a public peril that would require nationwide notification, like if there was a risk of an imminent attack or multiple terrorist attacks. When used, the presidential alert would be followed by state or local instructions. While people can opt out of the Amber Alerts and other alert messages, the public will not be able to opt out of the presidential alerts.
This is interesting because there's so a presidential alert system.
Yes.
So it's literally naming the president as far as this, because there's a national alert system that already is in place. I remember when I first started in radio, there was a, I think I've told you guys about this before, there was an envelope that you would open in the event of a national alert come out, and it had, it would have a code that you would have to read and have to match up with the code that was sent to you via the UPI wire. Mm-hmm. And if it matched up, it was legitimized. It was almost like, you know, in not Hunt for Red October, but the other submarine movie, Crimson Tide, where they had to match the, you know, Zulu, Alpha,
right.
And all this stuff.
Go through the whole code.
And then we would broadcast the information that was supposed to be passed along for the national alert system. But this is the presidential alert system, and this goes straight to your cell phone. That's interesting.
I can understand that, the nature of tech has made it possible that you could alert a large bulk of the population through the technology. Okay. I don't know what more it will be in and above that, what you were describing, but we'll see.
There's also an EAS portion of it, and that part will be sent to participating broadcast entities at 220. So first the cell phone alert will go out at 218, and then the EAS at 220.
All right, and is the EAS on phones as well, or is that via broadcast like we do? Because we run EAS tests. Okay.
It's broadcast.
All right, we do those monthly.
Sometimes those weather alerts are shocking. I was driving my mom to the airport last week or the week before, and we both got a flooding alert at the same time.
Yes, and it's very loud.
It was really loud.
Nick, we were it must have been the same time, because at home, my phone went off, and I was like, I had not heard that sound.
Yeah, so my mom was sitting right next to me in the car, and I was driving, and we both were shocked by the volume on it.
Yes.
It was on your phone?
Yes,
Preston. Yeah, I got it as well.
I keep my volume at a moderate level.
Me too.
And this was really loud.
Yeah, it was jarring.
Is it someone speaking?
No.
The alert?
It was a tone.
It's a tone. This is an alert for the
Zerg. Oh, I hate those. But no, this is it's a tone. Yeah, yeah.
And you know what, Nick? Mine went through my Bluetooth, so it was like even louder. Yeah, it was in the car.
Gosh.
Yeah, the test is being performed to see if there are any improvements that need to be made in the way that the presidential alerts would be distributed in the future. It was originally scheduled for September 20th, but was pushed to October 3rd due to Hurricane Florence. A landlocked surf resort in central Texas closed on Friday after a man who visited died from what is commonly known as a brain-eating amoeba. The Waco Tribune Herald reports Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is testing the BSR Cable Park Surf Resort for a rare but highly deadly amoeba. BSR Cable Park owner Stuart Parsons Jr. said it will continue to comply with requests related to the investigation of Fabrizio Stabile's death. The 29-year-old man died in New Jersey earlier this month after falling ill. Parsons and Stabile had been in the park's wave pool. Officials are investigating the source.
It's weird that this happens, because it usually stuff like this you'll usually have when someone goes into like a still pond or like a
well that's what, but that's what these that's what these places are. They're not chlorinated water.
But I thought it was like a moving wave pool, not going through a filter or anything. Or
listen, my sister-in-law works at one of these, and what she has is natural water. There's no filtration, you know, system. Like there, it's basically a man-made lake.
Okay.
The surf resort closed pending the test results from the CDC. The CDC says that people are typically infected when they go diving or swimming in warm freshwater places.
Yeah.
Normally, people are infected when contaminated water enter through their nose, according to the agency. In sports this morning,
ball sacks are yummy.
Is that? Tony Walters hit a tie-breaking single with two outs in the 13th inning as the Colorado Rockies outlasted the Chicago Cubs 2-1 at Wrigley Field in the longest win-or-go-home postseason game in Major League history. Scott Oberg, the sixth Colorado pitcher, fanned Chris Bryant for the final out of the 12th and then struck out the side in the 13th to end the longest postseason game in the 104-year history of Wrigley Field. Colorado now heads to Milwaukee to open up a best-of-five division series against the National League champion Brewers tomorrow. The American League wildcard game is tonight. The New York Yankees will host the Oakland A's. Liam Hendricks will start for Oakland, while Luis Severino will pitch for the Yankees. Game time in the Bronx is at 8:05. The Flyers on Tuesday claimed goalie Calvin Pickard off waivers from the Maple Leafs, and both Dale Weiss and Taylor Lehrer cleared waivers. Pickard will begin the season on non-roster status, and goalie Michael Neubert will be placed on injured reserve. Lehrer was sent to the Phantoms, while Weiss will remain with the Flyers on the opening night roster. The Flyers begin their season tomorrow night with a game in Las Vegas against the Golden Knights. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what we have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. Welcome to Wednesday. And let's see what we have in store for today. Listen, just a reminder that we give away on Friday this trip for two to attend an exclusive party on set of The Walking Dead in Atlanta. So we'll get the letter that's at the end of the show. So stick with us. And if you can't stay the whole time, come back around for that because we'd love for you to win that trip. Speaking of winning, we have a secret text word today. We try to fill up the middle of the week with something fun to win each and every week. And we do have tickets to see John Oliver. He's going to be playing December 30th. It's a Saturday at the Met, the new venue in town.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so it's been restored and it's all set. And you have a chance to win tickets to go to this show. You need to do it by, or you can do it by texting the word secret to 39333. And we'll send a word back to you later on. Wes, get a call in with that word. The designated caller wins those tickets. And then we'll grab a random texter as well. So you don't even have to be around to win that. So text the word secret to 39333 right now. You just might win. Speaking of winning, that continues with $1,000 and a chance to win with MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. We're doing it again at 8 a.m., your first shot today. So listen up. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day today. And Mike Jarek is out today, so it's going to be Alex and Tom.
Okay.
So we will spend some time with them. Kathy, are you wearing suede today? Is your jacket suede?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, sorry,
yeah.
I just noticed
suede jacket,
that.
Yeah.
We're going on TV. She looks all nice and everything.
So. Oh, it's the old thanks. Joke. This must be felt.
Yeah. What is this, velvet? I didn't mean to get distracted.
No,
that's
okay.
You just look so gosh darn.
I know. Lovely. I can do that sometimes to you.
We also have Adam Goldberg. Yeah, the Goldbergs on today. Their episode tonight is going to, and he and the writers pick these wonderful little treasures in our area.
Yeah.
To fixate on during some of the episodes, and I the one that caught me a couple of weeks ago. I was watching a rerun was where they go to Donkeys. And yes.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, Barry said that the greatest cheesesteak, it was all about the best cheesesteak, and he said the greatest cheesesteak isn't even in Philly. Yeah.
Well, the coach takes him down.
Jersey.
You want the secret?
And yeah.
They go into like a secret room.
Yeah.
This is it.
And it was a play off of Indiana Jones.
Yes.
And so, you know, he had to go find the secret map and work their way. But anyhow, tonight they're going to feature a little take on Zipperhead.
Which is so
South
cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just one of those little treasures of Philadelphia.
It's also a riff on Grease. It's called, I believe, You Got Zookoed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love how they tie the movies and a local thing together. So we'll talk to Adam Goldberg a little bit later on this morning about that episode and all things Goldbergs, which is such a great show. If you've never watched it, being from here, it's just the thin that you're not watching it. And we have a meet and eat today, the Bug Light Philly Tour.
Did I write Bug?
Yeah.
God damn it.
It's different. We're changing it up.
The Bug Light.
Yeah, the Bug Light Philly Tour.
Philly.
We're going to have one of those zappers.
Tomorrow night at the Union Tap. Who's going to be there?
Me.
Are you will, Nick?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm read that part.
Better bring your DEET.
They will be stopping by this morning, so we'll give you a heads up on that and everything you need to know about that appearance tomorrow night. And maybe something else. We'll see what's going on. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second. The entertainment report is on the way next, as well as a stupid question, some giveaways. Maybe you'll have a chance, because we still have that movie screening of Venom tonight, by the way.
Yes.
A few of those passes left. We'll give those away as well. And another screening coming up, we'll tell you about, too. It doesn't stop. It never stops.
Never!
We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
bing, bing, bong, bong.
You found it. There's our presidential alert.
Yep.
So, going to do a stupid question this morning. Pair of tickets for the Museum of American Revolution is what we're going to give away if you can answer this question. What exactly was Luke Skywalker on his way to pick up at Tashi Station? 215-263-WMMR. He was being a little bitch about it, too. What was Luke Skywalker on his way to get a Tashi Station, 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Now, listen, I have a whole lot of solid birthdays today, so
we'll be the judge.
Well, we're not going to linger too long all on right. each one of them because there's a big, big list of them, but it's Tommy Lee's birthday today.
Wow, okay.
Tommy Lee is 56. He's been having some interesting personal issues with his son and his ex-wife and everything.
Knocked out by his son. A lot of strife in the family. Yeah. He apparently, though, otherwise, he's got a lot of stuff that he's you know, recording with the band again a little bit.
Yeah, for the movie.
I've always liked Tommy Lee.
Yeah, me too.
So I hope that family stuff gets put behind him and they move on.
So he's 56 today. It is also Gwen Stefani's birthday. And Gwen is, she's edging closer and closer to 50 years old. I remember the first time I saw her was in that, the video for Just a Girl.
Yes.
Around 1996, 95, 96, and was like, who is that? And she's a great performer, too. Great live performer. She puts on a hell of a show.
She also is very glam. When she gets done up, she looks like a 30s or 40s screen star.
49 today. Ashley Simpson.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Jessica's little sister, who was trying to have a singing career. And, well, that all fell apart, especially after that Saturday Night Live appearance where she was lip syncing.
One of the great missteps of all time on SNL.
She's 34 years old today. It is the great Chubby Checker's birthday today. Chubby is 77 years old. He might, maybe, he might be calling the show later on this morning. I got a text from his son, Shan, who said that, you know, maybe we should pop him on. And I said, hell yeah, man. He's a legend. And
lives in the area.
And, well, yeah, and he's in Nashville right now. I'm not sure what he's doing there. Might be performing, but... yeah, and he was kind of inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because this song was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a new category they did this year.
Yeah, I think Chubby himself needs to be inducted.
I think he will be eventually.
I got to do the twist with Chubby at the Sixers game.
Wow. That's pretty cool,
pretty
man.
Pretty cool, right?
So maybe he'll check in the 9 o'clock hour a little later on. So happy birthday to Chubby Checker. Neve Campbell, the actress, is turning 45 years old today.
What was she just in? She was just in, is she the wife in that Skyscraper movie?
You know what? She is. Yes. Steve, it says here on her list of credits, Skyscraper. That's correct. So, and it didn't do too well.
Yeah. It's
mainly because of, I think, Dwayne Johnson overload at the moment.
It is, but you know what the deal is? The complex word to say deal, but the movie thundered in China. And so China is such a robust movie market that it can do okay here, and it's still killed over there. It's considered a massive success.
Lena Headey, who is of Game of Thrones, she plays Cersei Lannister, and you just absolutely hate her.
Most of the time.
If you watch the show, most of the time.
There are moments where she's a mother and you're like, oh, wait a minute. She has a little bit of a soul.
Therein lies the essence of a really compelling villain.
Yeah. There are
points at which humanity peeks out from under the villainy and makes you say, wait a second.
Not even when she's a mother do I like her.
No.
Because she's a mother to terrible children.
Yeah.
They all suck.
There's a couple of moments there, and especially reading...
But she makes the snickerdoodles, Preston.
Reading that's the only reason.
The books, there were a couple things in her past where you're like, okay, she was treated... anyway, you should watch the show if you don't. And by the way, she is so gorgeous. They actually, they make her evil. They don't uglify her. It's her personality makes her so unattractive on the show.
She is the recipient of the shame march, right?
She is. Yes. Absolutely. Shame. But she is she's a wonderful actress, and she's actually really funny and pretty cool in the interviews I've seen. She's 45 today.
And you need to see Dredd. I keep telling you every time her birthday rolls around.
I do need to see that. Steve, Alicia Vikander. The most recent Laura Croft in Tomb Raider.
I think she did a great job.
I got to see it.
Yeah.
Ex Machina. She was the android.
Wonderful movie.
Yeah. And she's a looker. And
the Danish girl.
A great actress. She's 30 years old today. It's Reverend Al Sharpton's birthday.
Oh, my God.
As well.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
We owe him some R-E-S-P-I-C-T-E.
or whatever, however he spelled it.
What do we have? His two favorite.
Of course
I know it's
we
tough.
Do.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to find it here.
Yeah, sorry, Case. I didn't.
You're not going in order, Preston.
I didn't let you. What do you mean I'm not going in order?
I didn't see that one.
Oh, so I didn't highlight it. I accidentally skipped it. I highlighted his age and not his name. So I'm sorry.
Resist we much?
Yeah, there's Resist We Much and also R-E-S-P-I-E-C-T or however.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
For Aretha Franklin, he misspelled respect.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just get to that part.
There's a song that you can reference that will surely.
Even if you can't spell.
Yeah.
Just sing the song.
Yeah.
And the next time you get a black woman and a beagle confused, remember this. I got you.
What?
That's the end of it. That's the end of it after he spells.
Oh, okay.
It was pertaining to Omarosa's. Trump had said something concerning dogs, and so he was trying to tie it all together in a nice misspelled bow.
Sometime the dog bites back with a book deal. And while we're talking about female canines, you know what they say about payback? It's a real. Well, I'm sure you know the word I'm thinking of. So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin.
Here we go.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
I mean, come on.
He mixed up I and E. All right.
So. You know what they say? Well, you know.
Yeah. What they say.
Hey, on the teleprompter's moving a little slow. Of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Okay. Respect.
All right, anyway, we got to move along.
Yes, we do.
So Al Sharpton is 64 today. Sean William Scott.
Oh.
The American Pie movies, of course, Stifler. And
Lethal Weapon now.
This is, is he the new Riggs?
He is the new Riggs.
This is Road Trip when he's getting a prostate,
Yeah, yeah.
Stop! Okay, keep doing it.
Yeah. Oh. All right. So, in this Lethal Weapon thing, is he Riggs or
no. He's his brother or
is he Vance?
He's playing Riggs' brother.
Okay.
At least I believe it premiered last night or tonight.
Was that a Dukes of Hazzard joke?
Yes, thank you.
All right.
I almost went with Coy, but I thought Vance was cooler.
Vance is cooler.
Yeah. Character's name is Wesley Cole.
All right. Sean William Scott, 42. Every time we've talked to him, he's been great.
Great guy.
Very nice guy. Clive Owen, the actor from Children of Men, Gosford Park, The Knicks, Sin City. He's 54 years old. Ray Horn.
Wow. Whoa,
Siegfried Roy. And Roy. I'm sorry. Wow. Roy Horn. I'm sorry. Roy Horn.
Doing it, Roy.
Siegfried and Roy. He was the Tiger Mold half.
What's his status?
I don't know.
Still I'm alive.
Curious.
He's alive.
I'm doing great. He's Jerry Vendetti. And you're returning to the stage at the end of the year.
God. That sounds disgusting. Roy Horn is.
I never even know anything happened.
He had his throat ripped out.
Had my head ripped off by a tiger? What are you talking about?
Roy, 74 today. Steve, I saved the last one for you.
Yes.
Tommy Wiseau's birthday.
Ah.
Yeah.
The Room.
The writer and director and star of The Room.
And the disaster artist. Have you seen yet?
No.
You will enjoy it.
Okay.
I would recommend, if you can, see The Room first.
See, but I've never seen The Room.
It's not necessary.
I've seen clips of it.
Yes.
But it's considered the worst movie ever made, right?
Oh, well up there.
Yeah.
And it satisfies the right requirement, is that they attempted to make a good movie. He attempted to make a good movie, and it was just horrible.
Yeah, but it became lore and such a joke that people love it.
And it worked.
Yeah.
So circuitously, it worked. It made him a famous filmmaker.
63 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to our stupid question. What Luke Skywalker was on his way to Tosche Station to get what? 215-263-WMMR is our number, and I'm going to go to Matt. Hey, Matt, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Good.
Is it, power converters?
Power converters, yes, that's it. Hang on a second, Matt. We're going to get your information, take care of you, and we will give you a pair of tickets to the Museum of American Revolution opening October 27th. The museum presents Hamilton Was Here, Rising Up in Revolutionary Philadelphia. A limited-run interactive experience tracing Hamilton's rise in the Philadelphia region. For tickets, visit
amrevmuseum.org for all of the information. Nick, what were you going to say?
It's just funny. I saw a quote from Mark talking about that line, and he also recognizes how awful and whiny he sounds, but he was trying to sound like an immature boy who then grows up as the movies go on. So he did it that way on purpose, but people never let him live it down.
Understood. Understood, yeah. All right, so let's get into the entertainment report. Actress Ileana Douglas conducted her first televised interview Tuesday about Les Moonves. She claims the disgraced ousted CBS chief blacklisted her from the network after she rejected his advances, which turned into an assault.
And they had, there was a series well on the way that she was responsible for, and they had signed a deal, and it was all moving ahead. And when she basically turned him away, that's when it crashed down.
On The View, she describes being summoned to his office after he cast her show Queens. She said, I go to his office. I have my clipboard of notes, and all I wanted to do was tell him what a team player I was going to be, to be in the show, and how excited I was. He started asking me a lot of personal questions, and I was stumbling and fumbling and not really knowing what to say, and that led to him jumping on top of me and putting his tongue down my throat and pinning me to the couch.
What a sweetheart.
Once he saw that I wasn't participating, he stopped, and I just wanted to get out of the room. He said, we're going to keep this between you and me, right? We're not going to tell anybody about this. And when her manager called her later to ask how the meeting went, he said the feedback from Moonves had been great. And I said, why? And apparently she said, because Les just called me and he said, you guys had a lot of fun. She was fired from the series shortly thereafter due to poor performance. A reference Douglas believes to her behavior in his office. And here's a woman who was already successful.
Absolutely.
And you know,
screenwriter, been in a number of high-profile projects, worked with Scorsese a number of times.
Yeah, so, come on.
Pig.
Totally, exactly. So he got his, at least for the most part. Bravo's show Flipping Out, Casey, is this one that you watch?
No, I don't watch it.
Okay.
What is it about?
I know you, is it a house-flipping
house
thing?
House-flipping.
Oh.
You watch shows like that.
Yeah, but I don't watch it on Bravo. I'm an HGTV guy.
All right. Well, a guy named Jeff Lewis from that show, his reported plan to make his legal battle with his daughter's surrogate mother go away quickly and quietly has hit an obstacle. Dr. Lindsay Cafferata, the doctor who delivered daughter Monroe, has filed court documents that side with the surrogate named Alexandra Trent against Lewis, his partner Gage Edwards.
I'm not...
Bravo and the production company behind Flipping Out. Well, listen, the details are enough to make this interesting.
Yeah, please.
All right, so in the filing, she claims that she heard, this is the doctor saying this, that she heard Miss Trent, who was the surrogate, inform the show's producers that she did not want to be filmed while she gave birth, as she did not want her reproductive organs displayed on television.
And of course.
Edward and Lewis said that they wanted to film the birth for home use. So the show's producers also allegedly told her that there would be no filming during the birth. Well, she filed her suit in June claiming she never agreed to have the process of giving birth be filmed. She was also reportedly outraged by comments that Lewis and Edward made about her vaginal grooming habits and the size of her vagina.
Oh, no.
What? While she's giving birth?
I guess so.
Oh, my God.
What the hell?
What?
Look at the size of that thing.
In the episode, Lewis
said,
"Things
freaking huge."
If I was a surrogate and I had known that there was going to be an audience, I probably would have waxed. And that was the shocking part for Gage.
She's giving birth.
Well, I don't,
was she going out on a date?
She said, I don't think Gage had ever seen a vagina, let alone one that big.
Oh, my God.
Listen. It is true.
Yes.
In the process of giving birth, things get bigger.
It's a baby's head
exactly.
and shoulders.
Exactly. Lewis claims the footage that wound up on air didn't violate the agreement, though. Meanwhile, Lewis, who is, once again, the host of this show, I guess, is piping up about his ruptured relationship with Jenny Poulos.
Is Jenny Poulos the mother of the surrogate baby?
I have no idea who these people are.
No?
Jesus I just like the Christ. Big vagina comments.
It's just so weird.
On Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, Lewis said that it was possible that he would become friends with his longtime business partner again, but unlikely after she reported him to Bravo for abuse. Lewis told Cohen, when someone reports you for abuse to your bosses, that's kind of something that's hard to get over. So, I don't know. But anyhow, there's
certainly
a
messed up.
There's a lawsuit and vaginal grooming and big vaginas involved, and I'm like, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Former Cosby Show star Jeffrey Owens was offered a gig from Tyler Perry after being a bit shamed for working at Trader Joe's. You remember the story?
Right.
Perry, who recently spoke with Good Morning America, said that he had cast Owens for 11 episodes of his own show.
Is he following through on that?
The haves and the have-nots. Yep.
Good. He's a good man.
Perry told GMA, I called him up the next week and had written him into 11 shows.
Oh, that's so cool.
But when he showed up for the first day, I saw him in costume and I had 20,000 more ideas running into my head from him. Perry went on to say that he can relate to Owens' financial struggles as he was once homeless and slept in his car.
Now, Tyler Perry's, when you read his story, he's a good guy. He really is a good guy.
He's a self-made man and he doesn't forget.
You know? No, yes, he pays it forward.
He added, to get to this place, to have seen both sides of this has been really incredible, and that's why I feel like I'm the guy for the underdog. Meanwhile, Owens opened up about being offered the role and said there is a little sense of mischief, I think, to Tyler, as well as generosity, because, you know, I had just said I don't think I would really feel comfortable getting offered work because of the situation, and what does he do? He offers me work. And he added, maybe this is the cause that's actually going to bridge the divide in our country. Maybe this is it. This is the way that we come together. I don't know about that.
I think it will absolutely change the tide of everything. It will reverse the course of political strife. And everything will be fixed because of this. No, but listen, what it does do is it gave us all a chance to pause and smile at a good story.
Sure.
And I think Nicki Minaj followed through and it sent him $25,000 to help him.
Owens plays the role of a senator and made his debut on the Haves and Have-Nots on Tuesday night. So that's,
there you go.
That's good for him, man. That's cool. Speaking of politics and so on and so forth, Chris Evans and Zoe Kravitz reveal their first times, but for voting. Celebrities like him and her, Mark Ruffalo, Don Cheadle, Scarlett Johansson, and Chadwick Boseman are teaming up for an openly clickbaity PSA called My First Time. And it's created to drive young people to vote. It's just,
I'm sorry. As long as there's a picture of a woman crying with a stingray on her back, that's the thing I'm going to click on.
What's that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see it all the time. It's a woman at the beach. Yeah. We talked about it.
Yeah.
We found out she was at one of those stingray petting ponds.
Yeah.
And one got on her back and she's crying. But if you ever go to anything clickbaitish on the web, that picture's always there.
Yeah.
And then there's always one that says, she had no idea they were photographing when this happened.
Yeah. And the bitch of it is when you go into that series of photos.
There's that, not even in it.
That one photo you clicked on that got you in the first place is not,
not even there.
I clicked on one the other day. It was a photo that looked like it was taken in the 1930s or something.
Yeah.
Of these two guys holding a woman, holding like her face, like they were about to kill her or something like that. And it said, shocking photos from history. I'm like, well, I want to see what that one's all about.
I went through the whole damn thing.
That one picture was not in it.
Bastards.
A bunch of other interesting ones, but...
But not as interesting as that one. What happened to the woman?
I know.
What happened to the stingray?
So anyhow, the celebs are urging citizens to register to vote by October 9th. Big Little Lies Kravitz shared, my first time was in the back of a firehouse. Cheeto confessed, mine was in church. You know, so they're playing off the sex.
Lena Dunham had done it when I think it was for the 2012 presidential election.
Uh-huh.
And she had done a pro-Obama thing like that. But that was basically it. I'll never forget the first time.
Ruffalo said, I didn't know how to do it. Boseman had added, didn't know where to put it in or to slide it in. Evan's joke, my first time was with a woman in 2016.
Which one says I did it in the butt?
Nobody.
Oh, yeah. Cheadle said. Somebody who really thought it was about their first time. Yeah.
It was in the butt that really hurt. We're talking about voting. Yeah, I know.
The most poignant one, though, was from Don Cheadle, who added, my parents weren't allowed to do it until 1965. So I do it every chance I get, and so should you. So that's a new PSA that is out. Hey, this is interesting. They come out with this list. If you guessed that a Kardashian-Jenner family member would be the most dangerous celebrity to Google, you are wrong about that. Cybersecurity company McAfee studies celebrity search results to determine which names potentially expose users to malicious websites. This year, it's actress Ruby Rose.
Ruby Rose!
Who is on the top spot. And they always pick somebody who's not like a full-on giant A-lister.
But I could see Ruby Rose getting a lot of search. She's got a cool look. She was in the John Wick movie.
Yes. So
she's going to be the new Batgirl?
This year's actress Ruby Rose can add her list to that. She's the first Australian to take the top spot on McAfee's Most Dangerous Celebrities list. Her acting career took off in 2015 after she was cast as Stella Carlin in Orange is the New Black. I didn't know she was an MTV VJ for a little while. It says the model slash DJ VJ slated to next star in the forthcoming TV series, Batwoman.
If you were to have a dangerous link, one that would provide you with a point of access, would it be Disco Bush or what would be the category?
Norma Stitz.
Norma Stitz. yeah, it's interesting how these things work.
Reality star Kristen Cavallari came in at number two.
You know, our own Brittany, Calendar Girl Brittany is on that show, the Very Cavallari.
Okay. Oh, really?
Really?
Yes.
Also followed by actress Marion Cotillard, number three.
Yes.
Original Wonder Woman, Linda Carter is number four.
No way.
Linda Carter is a character on Supergirl.
Rose Byrne is number five. Will and Grace's Deborah Messing is number six. Kourtney Kardashian is number seven. Actress Amber Heard is number eight. Kelly Ripa. God, I didn't even finish it. Is number nine.
Oh, because you're looking at the list up here. All right.
And the only male actor, Brad William Hankey.
Who is that?
I don't know.
All right.
Hankey. A little stuffed up. I need a hankey.
Yeah, that's wild. All the first nine, all women. And, well, I guess who's more, can you even make that comment? Who's more likely to go search out pictures of someone online? Is it more a male?
I do.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wonder if you were to break it down across gender, statistically, who does that more? Which gender does that more?
I would imagine
I'm
guys.
Sure, you know, there's,
probably guys.
Linda Carter kind of throws me for a loop there. And she's so high on the list.
Yeah, yeah. So, by the way, last year's most dangerous was Avril Lavigne. So, like I said, it's usually a little off the beaten path. Somebody who's definitely got some fame and celebrity and is attractive.
Yes, but not overly obvious.
Yeah, so beyond being careful what you click on, McAfee suggests applying system and application updates as soon as they are available, browsing with security protection, and using parental control software. As for the Kardashian-Jenners, here's the other family members and where they fell. Caitlyn finished closest to the top 10 at number 13.
In your face.
Followed by Kim. Rob was she was number 19. Rob is 62.
Jesus.
Khloe is 91.
I'm not happy about that.
Kendall is 138.
I like milk in my cereal.
That's Kylie. That's Kylie. Kylie's number 152. And mom, Chris, ended up at number 158.
But then again, as we're saying, the higher profile, who the hell knows?
Hell. So, anyhow, that is out. So, if you're going to click on someone, keep in mind that Rose Byrne is probably not the one you want to do.
Do you have a virus protector on your computer?
I do.
Yeah. It makes a difference, I think, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, I had to. I had a real problem with one that kept popping stuff up, and I eventually went on tech support with Apple, and they helped me put the proper one in.
Yes.
And it worked out great, so... which I'm an idiot when it comes to computers, and they were able to help me, which is cool.
You need one that operates in the background.
In an article with W Magazine, Bradley Cooper drops a bombshell that he was not always seen as a close-up ready hottie.
Oh, my God.
He says, I've always been an underdog. I was always operating under the lens of not really being seen as the main guy. Aww. He said, I've heard it all in my career. Early on, I didn't get a role because they said I wasn't effable.
You know...
Poor guy.
I've seen him talk about his appearance before, and he pointed out something about his face that I never noticed until I read this. His eyes are not even. If you look at Bradley Cooper's face, one eye is slightly higher than the other.
Yeah.
Right, he is devastatingly handsome.
Like Sloth.
Not nearly as bad as Sloth.
I'm looking at a photo of him right now, Nick. You're right. His left eye is lower than his right eye.
I don't think anybody.
He does like candy bars, though, Nick.
He does, yeah. The first time anybody's compared Sloth to Bradley Cooper.
He looks incredible, obviously.
Looks
look at the disaster, the blue eyes, and speaks fluent French, and is...
I can't believe he got to hang out with Eddie Vedder for this role.
Well, he's doing
it. He would make this extra special if Nick was here.
The world is his oyster right now, so he's got A Star Is Born coming out.
And that's opening up against Venom.
Yes, it is. You're
basically
right.
The same movie.
I did not know that.
Venom Is Born.
Well, what else we have here for you? I have a lot of stuff and not a lot of time, so I'm going to try to get right to the juicy bits here. How about Emma Stone? She had her first panic attack when she was 7 years old. Speaking to Dr. Harold Koppelwitz from the Child Mind Institute.
Koppelwitz?
Yeah,
I just had a panic because I wanted to hear that.
As part of an Advertising Week 2018 panel in New York, she described the day at a friend's house. She said, all of a sudden, I was absolutely convinced that the house was on fire and it was burning down. She combated the anxiety with therapy, improv and acting.
Oh, my God. Who writes this crap?
But she said, still nothing's perfect. She said, I panicked this morning. She said it with a nervous laugh. I wasn't expecting to, but I definitely did. So it's an issue for her, but she's doing okay.
Is it funny that now she performs with an improved team?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Gisele Bündchen has changed her mind about Tom Brady's future on the field. On Good Morning America Tuesday, the 38-year-old explained her much-publicized desire to have him retire. But she said, I've never seen someone love something as much as he loves football.
And some guys like him round and some guys like him thin.
And she said, and it makes me happy.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she said, and that's a good thing because earlier this month, Brady said that he wanted to play for another 5 years. So I guess she's coming.
Touching the balls after that.
I guess she's
anyone rubbing them. I don't want anyone touching the balls after that.
She's come around on that.
She's come around. So I wonder if we'll ever learn that much more about how she reconciled the fact that when she started dating Brady, he had a pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
It's that's a tough one to get over.
Hey, Ansel Elgort has been cast as Tony in Steven Spielberg's adaptation of the Broadway musical West Side Story.
This is a tall order because West Side Story as a musical and movie is considered one of the absolute greats of all time.
Yeah.
Where are you going to take it now?
It was in 1957, so they haven't, nobody's touched it since then, have
no.
they?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's a classic. It's just, now listen, they've revisited classics before, but this one almost seems like, what are you going to do?
It is the same story as Romeo and Juliet,
it is.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, there are always updates and who knows.
It could be good. I mean, you've had a revival in musicals in the past 10 years or so. And so if done properly, I mean, you know, they were able to do it with Chicago and Chicago.
Chicago.
La La Land was
Chicago.
Very, very successful. It wasn't a remake of a classic, but if they do it right, you know, it could be really good.
I know, and if they do, it's wonderful, I'll love it. But it seems like one of those ones. Like, why even go in there? You know, it's hard.
I don't know. I think it's cool. Tony Kushner wrote the revival of the 1957 music, originally written by Arthur Lorentz and Stephen Sondheim. With, of course, Leonard Bernstein being the musician.
Amazing, guy. Amazing
Leonard
music.
Bernstein. The filming for West Side Story will begin in the summer of 2019. But Ansel Elgort, and they're going to have to obviously have a very strong female lead for that as well.
Someone who can sing. Yeah. I mean, Natalie Wood was wonderful, but she wasn't doing the singing in
Correct.
West Side Story.
No, she wasn't?
No.
Oh. Yeah, they had a behind-the-scenes person doing all of that. So we'll see. Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds' bromance dates back to at least 2017 when they worked on Life together, and Admiration Society is still going strong with these guys. Their mutual admiration, I should say. They're friends, and they apparently Gyllenhaal tells Variety, I first met Ryan many years ago, and he struck me immediately as quick and warm and thoughtful, a gentleman in the area of foppish putzes.
Foppish putzes?
P-U-T-Z-E-S.
Putzes?
Is that a putz?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right.
I haven't seen the word putz actually
in pluralized.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But foppish?
So a gentleman in an era of foppish putzes. The unlikely love child of Mel Brooks, Dorothy Parker, and Gary Cooper.
There you go.
He then said he was also taller than me. Against my wishes, we became close friends. He said, he continued, tongue firmly in cheek, by the way, what we all want for our friends in this business is for the world to see what we see. And as actors, that only happens in a perfect storm of timing and all full luck. After years of waiting and struggling to fit his unfortunate pear-shaped physique into the skinny jeans of a conventional romantic lead, Ryan made his own luck with Deadpool. So he's just having some fun.
Right.
There is a ad that runs on YouTube videos that I've been watching lately where Ryan Reynolds is playing a game on his phone.
Yes, yes.
I don't know what the game is called.
It runs all the time.
Like most people, I normally skip through these ads to get to the content that I'm trying to watch. I've watched all of these commercials because he's so damn funny, and I don't even know what the commercial's for, but it's some video game that you're playing on your phone.
By the way, have you noticed, being of ads online, that YouTube now plays two commercials before your video gets to roll?
Not always.
Well, they'll do that, Preston. It'll do a five-second little commercial, and it'll say, your video will play after ad. And then the next one comes up that allows you to skip it after 5 seconds.
Okay.
That's been happening almost every time I go on.
Okay. The ones that hold you hostage are the annoying ones where you have no option to skip out of it.
Yeah. So, but the first one, you have no option. It's just short. Mm-hmm. It's a teaser. It's like 5-7 seconds. And then the next one comes up and allows you to skip out of it after five. But they've snuck it in. They found another way to...
Bastards.
To get one in on you.
Bastards. The only type of advertising that means anything is radio advertising.
Yeah. Radio advertising.
Very true.
What else? Footage of what appears to be a Harry Potter video game under development was leaked on Reddit yesterday.
Well, from what company? Is it a console game? Is it a... What is it? Deets, please.
The video shows off RPG elements.
Okay, because there was a great Harry Potter video game for Xbox years ago.
Yeah.
And the Quidditch was a lot of fun to play.
Like a character creation scene, and it shows a character running through a third-person perspective and making potions. But Warner Brothers has since blocked the video. By the time I got to it, it was already... they had pulled it off.
By the way, did I tell you guys I saw people playing Quidditch down at the beach this summer?
No.
Yeah.
On the sand?
Yeah, they weren't actually flying, okay. But they were playing on the sand. But they were running with brooms between their legs.
Okay.
And, I thought it was... I was like, wow, you guys are super dorks, but you're looking like you're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, having fun.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. All right, we should go ahead and get to the clips here, gang. So the Goldbergs are a high-strung family, with each member contributing their own level of craziness to the household. And here... Haley Orentia, we had her here too, Orentia, reminds viewers why the show is so relatable. Here we go.
I think it feels like it comes off like an authentic family, or so many people relate to it because it is based on a real family, because Adam draws so much from that. I feel like we've become so close over the last few years, it's just so natural for us.
Yeah! I love her.
She's awesome.
She was so sweet when she came by here, and a lot of fun, and very, very talented. Great singer, too. New episode of The Goldbergs airs tonight, 8 p.m. on ABC. We're going to have old Adam Goldberg on the program later on this morning. Let's do the next clip. The new sitcom Single Parents follows a group of friends working together to raise their children. Here, Leighton Meester, a mom herself, talks about finding inspiration on the set.
I feel very lucky to be surrounded by people who are also normal. I mean, a lot of us are parents, and a lot of the women around me on this show are moms. Some of them are single, and they kind of get that single part of single parents, and they're like talking about the Tinder landscape, which is always like fascinating to me.
A new episode of Single Parents airs tonight, 9:30, and that is on ABC. And that's what I have for you this morning.
I check out these premieres all the time. So, they're ones that you say, like, 10 minutes into it, you go, okay, this ain't long.
No, this isn't for me.
And there are ones that say, okay, we can work with this.
Speaking of which, because I tuned in too late for the CBS show with Damon Wayans Jr.
Watch them both. Yeah, his actually has more promise.
It
seems a little bit more... He's charismatic, as is she, and the concept is interesting. It might be limited. The one that preceded it, though,
the Cedric the Entertainer one,
it seemed like a sitcom out of the 70s.
Really?
I mean, it was like a if you know, it was around the... It should have premiered around the time of All in the Family. It just seems bizarrely, you know, this is past.
Okay.
Nice. All right, that's what I have in the entertainment report. We got to take a break now, folks. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't forget, we have your first shot at $1,000 today coming up around 8 o'clock, and a whole lot more, which I'll tell you about when we return. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We're going to have Adam Goldberg on the show a little bit later on this morning. In about 30-some-odd minutes, we have your chance to win $1,000 for a shot at it. Birthday Bucks Part 2. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day. Man, okay, we got to hurry up then because that'll be here before you know it with Fox Good Day. You know, honesty is always the best policy.
Yes.
Except for when it isn't.
It's true.
And there was an article that I read this morning, and it's actually from a local professor, Maurice Schweitzer of the University of Pennsylvania.
Professor Schweitzer.
Says that we should actually be teaching our kids, students, and employees when and how to lie. And apparently,
okay.
This being, and I was...
Tax returns.
No.
Oh. That's a wrong time to lie, right?
That's up to you.
All right, your call, yeah.
There are repercussions. But apparently there are some scenarios where lying might actually be the better way to go about it.
I assume with not even, and wanting not to know and have you impart this information to us, so I would say that we're talking in the realm of perhaps feelings and preserving feelings through white lies, perhaps. Yes. Or we're not... Something that would result in some harm coming to someone, or that's not the time to lie. But when you can, it's okay to white lie if you're going to preserve someone's feelings. Is that the gist of this?
A lot of it is in that realm,
okay,
Steve. So here
give me the examples. I'm curious.
Here are the scenarios. Number one, if you have someone's best interests at heart.
Okay.
Also, they're called pro-social lies.
Okay? Pro-social lies.
Yeah, these lies have been found to build trust between people, believe it or
well,
not. Nod.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the circumstances, because I was caught in a lie 2 weeks ago that it was an innocent white lie that I thought I was telling to preserve somebody's feelings.
Okay. Yeah.
And it backfired. And it was because it was my girlfriend, and it was stupid. It was over something that was inane, but she realized it right away. And then I doubled down on the lie.
Oh, you know? Really?
Yeah. And I just was like, why am I? It was about a dessert. I mean, like it was a typical Nick thing. It was about chocolate covered pretzels
and eating them.
The details are meaningless, Kathy. Let's not get bogged down in the details.
I already know the scenario. Where are my chocolate covered pretzels?
The dog.
We don't have a dog.
Yeah, we do. We have a dog.
I bought a dog. He ate him, and dogs can't eat chocolate, so he died.
Yeah,
thanks for bringing up a source.
Jesus
subject.
Christ, Cat.
And he was Jewish. We had to bury him quickly.
Kathy prosecuting lawyered that one in a nanosecond.
Actually, believe
is it
or
about
not.
Eating them? Nick was like on the stand, starting to sweat.
I promise you guys, that's not it.
Okay,
but it was so stupid of me. But I did it to protect her feelings, and on something that was completely unrelated. And then I was like, "Oh no! Everything I just said was true." And then a day or two later, she was like, "That wasn't true." And I was like, "I know. I'm sorry."
We all do it, and we've all been left with the notion. And throughout life, you go back and forth, and you say, "Well, you know, is the best thing to always just say the flat out truth."
I wish in that circumstance I had.
Yeah, and so, you know, it goes back and forth.
Different kind of lie, though. This was you trying to save your ass, right, of not being busted for...
It was, yeah, I mean, okay.
It was
sort of.
You saving your ass or trying to preserve her feelings?
Both.
Okay.
So, all right, let me give you a couple other scenarios, and then we can dive a little bit more into these. Number two is there's no time to change what's happening. So basically, if the person you're lying to doesn't have time to act on information that you might give them... That's a scenario where it might be better to tell a fib, a lie. I'm not sure exactly what that means, Casey. There's no time for them to if they were to put their efforts into doing something and you knew it was going to be futile, you're saving them time or worry or effort or whatever.
Okay.
Number three, if you're giving constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Delivered in a more gentle manner, as it will likely get you a better outcome in the long run.
It's the equation that works the best is support, confront, support. You do so many good things, but right here.
Yeah.
If you could just do this, but I love all this other stuff that you've done.
You just did support, confront, support. Yeah.
I'll riff on it.
Yeah, I will say this. My wife makes great meatballs. Wonderful, wonderful meatballs in the year 2018.
Yes.
We got married in 2003.
Right.
Her meatballs from 2003 to 2005, 2006 weren't all that great.
Did you let her know this?
Yes.
Okay. Do you regret letting her know it? Or did it result in your superior 2018 meatball?
And now she doesn't regret it either.
Okay. And she appreciates it.
It was one of those things where it was like, hey, you know, why? What?
I don't understand. So back in 2006, you told her that she made lousy meatballs?
Meatball is code for oral.
Yeah. Oh.
Your meatballs are terrible.
Her Man, meatballs, those God meatballs damn, I can't terrible. Even stand up after that meatball.
Yeah. Hey, kids, stop listening to the radio right now.
Anyway, continue on. So you told her?
Yeah, they weren't up to par. They weren't great. And I love meatballs.
She's a smart woman. She's a competent woman. She appreciated the
She never got offended by it either. And it wasn't like, these meatballs suck, woman. No, it was like, nah, you know, they were okay.
And there's some taste is subjective.
I don't understand how this pertains to what we're talking about.
I wasn't lying.
He's saying that he benefited by not sugarcoating the meatballs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Well, they're saying so you're saying your approach is more to be straight up.
Yeah.
Straight ahead, just say the truth and not lie a little bit.
Well, no. There are definitely other times where you need to lie, but this particular one.
When it comes to meatballs, Preston, do not lie.
Jesus. This is just constructive criticism in general.
But here's what it is, though. This is how subjective it is. You're going to pick the things you think are important, and you're going to pick the things. You know, the classic is, do I look fat in this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the classic. Yeah. And, you know, what is the reaction?
Right.
Yeah.
I will in that case. But with my wife, I will tell her if I don't think she looks good in something. She really is coming to me for a legitimate assessment of what she's wearing, and she's confident enough that I think she looks great.
Yeah.
That you know, she uses the information.
I did have a friend who thought he was doing everybody a favor by always telling the truth. And it's like, well, listen, there's a difference between telling the truth and just keeping your mouth shut. You know, like just
sometimes
just,
you do. Yes. Yeah,
so, just, you know, listen, your opinion here, your quote unquote truth, does not matter right now, and you're just hurting people's feelings.
Well, that's the difference between offering an unwanted opinion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I didn't ask for your opinion, you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
telling you the truth, man.
Exactly, and I hate people like that.
Oh, my God, they're the annoying, very annoying. Yeah, I agree.
Just being honest, man.
Yeah. Just with all, you should know, you're wrong, dummy.
Yeah. All right, number four on this list of times where you may want to lie, right before a special occasion. It says, don't give someone honest information at a time when it will distract them from something important.
Okay.
So I guess you would use like a wedding as a scenario. And if
I do love you.
And if you're if you're talking to a bride and something has gone wrong.
Yeah.
It's and it's, you know, a need to know basis. And you don't need to know.
You could have done a better job on that dress.
You know, I want you to know that she's been making meatballs for other guys. What?
It's the truth. And number five on the list of scenarios when it's okay to lie is if you're not close with the person. An expert says in more competitive relationships or first interactions, honesty is a lot more precarious and can damage relationships and reduce trust.
I think the one delineation here is, as you pointed out, Casey, offering up unwanted opinions or advice. That's where people fall into traps. Yeah. However, like, so we're decades into our marriage, Claire and I, and you know, it can be the way you say something over what you're saying. If you come at the person the right way, mm-hmm. if they've asked for your honest opinion and you give it, then that's okay. But it's the way you relay that information. You know, like I said, with support confronts support. And a lot of people are just ham-handed in the way they deliver, mm-hmm. you know, their white lie. You know, it was clear Nick had eaten all the pretzels.
He obviously ate them all. But talking about not knowing the person, I recently had somebody come out of a dressing room at a store and say to me, you know, do you like this? And I did not.
This is a stranger?
It was a stranger, and it did not look good on her. And I said, because she asked me for two things. She put on two different outfits. And I said, I like the other one much better. And she was like, but I'm thinking about both. Do you like this one too? And I was like, oh. And I felt bad being like, no, because it wasn't, I liked the outfit. It did not look okay on her.
Oh.
And I didn't know her. I wasn't going to be like, no, I can see your muffin top. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that. I didn't know her. So I was like, yeah, they're both really cute.
Oh, there you go. Oh, now you're not doing her any favors.
I know. But Casey,
now
I don't know
her.
You're
sending her out into the real world looking terrible.
But to Kathy's point, and if it may be around the people she hangs out with, that's a look that they would like. Or she it was sort of weird to ask a total stranger.
I do it all
you
the time.
She didn't know your fashion sensibility.
No, and we were like, so there was one community mirror, so you'd go in and get changed, yeah. And you'd come out and you'd look in the mirror. So we were kind of passing each other. And right. We were both trying on a bunch of different things. So she eventually started asking me if I liked it.
You know what lying I don't understand and I never will is lying at the beginning of a relationship in order to impress the other person, because eventually that's going to come back on you.
You're a slave to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, when you're 8 months into a fake British accent.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to the loo. Yeah.
Oh my God, I have so many of these stories. Not personally, but I have a friend whose husband, now husband, when they first met, told her that he was a tennis pro. And she like loved tennis. So they went to play. They went to play like a few months into the relationship, and she was like, this guy can't even serve. He told me he was a tennis pro.
He didn't know how to open up the can of balls.
I mean, and eventually she like, you know, she said something to him because she was like, this is ridiculous. They're married now, and clearly he's
so
not
messed up.
No, he just said table tennis.
Yeah.
And then my cousin lied for years about his age.
You told us this. It was like, how many, what was the age spread he lied about?
It was a significant age spread. I mean, I want to say like maybe 15 years. I mean,
how do you think that's not going to be discovered eventually, especially when you're filling out paperwork as a couple?
Yeah, he still does very, very young. So he got away with it easily.
What do you think his motivation was lying about his age?
He was dating a much younger girl.
Okay.
So he didn't want her to know that he was 50.
Yeah, I know a guy who is a professional musician, and we went to high school together. We were in band in high school and everything together, and we had reconnected on Facebook, and I had posted like an old picture of him from back in the day. And he's like, dude, can you take that down? He's like, and don't. Because he apparently lies about his age regularly.
Really?
He looks younger than he actually is. I guess fear of not getting work for some reason or another. He models for
Oshkosh B'gosh.
No. He's a gun for hire. He's a studio musician, but he also tours with groups, and he wants to remain young. So he's, I didn't ask
Preston,
him about it.
That's the same thing. Like, you know, the comedian I was touring with who he wore a wig, you know, just years before it's like maintaining that. Not that it's a lie, but in a way, you sort of have the same dynamics. And he was a slave to this. He was so conscious of his image, he wouldn't even go out to like get the paper or whatever without putting on his wig.
I think of crazy. Tommy Boy. You tell anyone, I'll kill you.
Exactly.
It looks real.
It looks real.
But with the age thing, we had to all be in on it. You know, like the family was in on it. And
you can't make people
say anything. And he,
that's wrong.
So and like he was the oldest sibling, and he had to say he was the youngest. So you know what I mean? As their relationship went on, it turned into more fibs, lies.
Let me get a couple of phone calls. I'm going to go to Kathy. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
So my brother and his wife, when they were saving for their wedding, decided that he shouldn't eat lunch out anymore. And so she started packing him lunches. And she packed him bologna sandwiches. And he lied to her and said they were delicious. Oh. But for a whole year, just threw them out every day.
He just threw them out instead of giving them to someone?
They sucked.
He didn't want to give them to anybody. He didn't like them. Kathy, did it ever come to light that he did not like her sandwiches?
She finally figured it out.
Wow.
His wedding ring is engraved with bologna sandwiches on the inside.
Oh, my God.
That's... He just didn't want to hurt her feelings.
Yeah. Okay. That's probably a good lie.
Yeah, but like... So here's a perfect example. My wife, and she makes phenomenal things. She makes some of my... You know, her chocolate chip cookies are unparalleled. However, she was a big fan of making cordon bleus. I didn't like them,
you know.
And so they're good. They're not. And I said right from the get go, they're not the way that I usually have a cordon bleu.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then you're setting your. It's like the meatballs.
Yeah. Then you're setting yourself up for decades of terrible meatballs.
She was fine with it. Yeah. You know.
Here's my little lie in this regard. So my in-laws. When we, Rochelle and I first got together as a couple, as a Christmas gift, they gave me it's a Budweiser Stein.
Yeah. Oh,
I've told you guys about
this. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. We've all been in this nightmare.
And so my mother-in-law had asked me after a couple of years into this, she's like, look, do you want me to keep giving these to you? And I go, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
If only you could go back.
I've got you know, 20 of these things from over the years.
We ended up with a collection of snow babies because I'm like, you never see those dumb things like Eskimo. They're like the Hummel figures. Yeah. That they're horrible.
Mine are just, the mugs are just stashed away. I did, however, get with my other friends from St. Louis because Budweiser is a St. Louis institution. And, of course, we have our Philly, Bud Light Philly tour going
yes.
on. So there's a connection there. But anyhow, so I created a Budweiser mug club.
So there you go.
I gave everybody mugs, and we get together once a year and drink out of the mugs.
Oh, good. So you got rid of some of them.
So we do. I got rid of some of them.
Oh, right. we flat out told people, how would you like a full snow baby collection in one fell swoop? And gave it to them.
Let me go to James. Hi, James. Good morning.
Hey, sir. How are you doing today?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I have a story about my mom and my dad. When my mom tried on a dress after I was born, she tried it on. She went to my dad. She said, asked him if she looked fat in the dress. And my dad immediately responds with, no fatter than anything else you wear.
Whoa. See, there is a perfect example of the way you impart your response.
Yeah.
That was purposefully done to be tactless.
Uh-huh.
Are they divorced?
No, he was trying to be nice. He's just not the best with words.
Yeah.
He's terrible with words.
Not any fatter than you look in everything else.
Oh no, it has those same sort of strain marks all your clothing has.
Right.
That's terrible. Oh
you can
God.
See. No, it does everything. You know how the seams are always seem to be pulling apart? Same with this.
That's just a bad choice of words. Yeah. So thank you, James. That's not him being honest or lying. He's just, he
bad
just said it
words.
Poorly. Let me see. I will go next to Gabby. Hey, Gabby, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, Gabby. What's going on?
So when I was pregnant and working, I worked in a major healthcare office. Mm-hmm. And I'm fairly short. I'm not even 5 foot. So I knew that I was huge. But I had strangers come up to me saying, wow, you're huge. Are you having twins? Oh, my gosh. Your feet are so swollen. Your face is really big.
Oh, man.
Doesn't it blow your mind that people can be so tactless to come up? Why are you even putting your two cents in with a stranger like that?
Yeah, and so, Gabby,
well, and I had to,
I'm sure you would have preferred that people would have been a little less and maybe even lied to you a tad bit.
Don't even say anything.
100%. I would have rather them said, oh my gosh, you're glowing, or yeah, you look really great today, or
yeah,
you don't look that big at all, but you know, half the time I was looking at people like, oh, I'm sorry, who are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're glowing like one of those huge round lights outside of Grauman's Chinese Theater. Yeah, it's crazy how people do that. Or it's also, to me, that's akin to going up and just touching someone's pregnant stomach,
right.
You know,
that's a whole other.
They used to do that all the time too. Random people. I've had guys come up to me and touch my stomach, and I've had to yell at a few guys.
Yeah.
In the office, like, who are you? Why are you touching my stomach?
Why are you groping me?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All right, thank you, Gabby. Appreciate it. Let me go. I got to hear this one. I'm going to go to Chris. Hey, Chris. Good morning.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
That was
no one's ever done that before.
What's happening, Chris?
So this isn't really something that I did. It's something goes back to the article that we should teach our kids to lie.
Yes.
So first step is I sharted last week. I told my wife and my son, here's everything. And so I drop him off at daycare this week. And the first thing he says to the lady is that they – Daddy pooped his pants.
Oh my goodness!
Awesome. So you know, we got it, and he's 2 and a half. Mike.
Oh, right, he's not 16.
All right. Well, yes.
That's
okay.
That's so, understandable,
Chris. That's not teaching your son to lie. Yeah. That's teaching your son to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
There's a certain yes. That's something. Did you guys teach your kids? You know what happens in the house here is our business.
Yeah. Unfortunately, usually it's
too late.
It's a hard lesson that you've been taught yourself.
Exactly. Right. It's something that, oh, my God, I didn't think about that.
Right.
And then you have to say, listen, there are some things that that we don't need to tell the world.
All you need to do.
Daddy does that on the radio.
Right. Show him the scene from The Godfather where Vito Corleone grabs Sonny and says, don't you ever let anyone outside the family know how we feel.
Mm-hmm. I will go next to Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, Joe.
I love it.
Everyone does that. It's all right.
What's up, bud?
So my girlfriend and I, we've been dating for about 3.5 years now.
when we first started dating, we went to one of my buddy's weddings, and I was able to get all my friends involved with it. It was a funny lie. I was able to get all my friends involved with it. Even my mom got involved with it. I told her, yeah, I went online. I got my certificate to be an ordained minister online, and I was going to be the officiant at their wedding. So for about 3 to 4 days, we went away from this wedding, and my girlfriend, when we first started, she was all excited. She's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that, you're going to be the officiant at their wedding. That's so cool, yada, yada. So she started to get weary about it, and she actually texted my mom. She's like, hey, Kath, real quick, is Joe an ordained minister? My mom was like, yeah, he went online a couple weeks ago and got his certificate. So the day the wedding comes, we go sit down, and I go to sit in the crowd, and she looks at me. She goes, wait, shouldn't you be up at the altar being the officiant at the wedding? I said, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I lied to you.
Oh, so you left them stranded without an officiant?
So, yeah, she lost it. She didn't talk to me for the rest of the wedding until we got to the
wedding. Well, who officiated the wedding then?
It was just one. They got somebody else to do it.
Yeah, by the way, it would have taken you a day to get... When you send off to the Universal Life Church in Modesto, California, you get your response back within like 20 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want, do what I did. I sprung for the $50 package. It includes all the certificates.
Case, how much time we got here before we need to take a break?
We should probably take a break.
We need to take a break.
Sucks to end on that call.
Yeah. Well, listen, anyway, I thought it was an interesting article. And yes, there are times when it might be best to not necessarily share the truth. The five scenarios in this particular article are if you have someone's best interest at heart, there's no time for them to change what's happening. If you're giving constructive criticism right before a special occasion, or if you're not really close with that person.
Yeah.
So that's keep in mind, it's not always a bad thing, but clearly you need to know when the right time is for that.
Never lie about chocolate covered pretzels.
Don't never, or else it's coming back to haunt you, man. I want to give away some movie passes. We got a screening tonight of Venom. I'll give the last of these. We have four of them. 215-263-WMMR. UA King of Prussia at 7:30. You'll need to be there by 7 o'clock. So call now, and we'll put you on our list. When we come back, we go live on Fox Good Day, and we have some guests on the show. And when we return as well, your chance at $1,000 with Birthday Bucks Part Two. It's on the way. Be right back.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 26th at Xfinity Live. The business challenge is such a big part of Camp Out, and props to Subaru of America for leading the way in challenging other companies to get involved and make a difference. Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer, is encouraging any size business, large or small, to donate. One business will be selected at random to receive a Canon full-color copy, print, and scan image runner advance. It's a 36-month lease with service from Heritage. The Preston and Steve live broadcast from your place of business is still up for grabs for the largest donation. Go to WMMR.com/campout for a list of especially needed food items and all business challenge details.
By the way, up in Northeast Philly, it is the 2018 Bud Light Philly Tour and Union Tap tomorrow night, 7 to 9. Nick is going to be there, 2711 Comley Road in Northeast Philadelphia. And you want to go to WMMR.com/Philly to learn more about it. They've come by. They brought a bunch of food, which we're going to check out in just a moment or two. But you want to stop by and hang out with Nick tomorrow night because he'll have your chance to win some tickets. And you never know what else they're going to have as far as giveaways go. So once again, it is at the Union Tap tomorrow night, 7 to 9 in the Northeast. We're going on Fox Good Day. Here we go. Santana.
7:57. All right, Preston and Steve. So a new study is showing what most Americans would rather splurge on and what items we don't mind just buying cheap.
But did you know most Americans would rather spend more money on toilet paper, coffee, toothpaste than casual clothes?
Wow.
So isn't that crazy? So we want to know, what do you guys normally splurge on and what do you stay cheap with?
Both Preston and I spend on expensive toilet paper, and then we weave it into fine clothing.
Yes.
And that's the two-ply. I don't know. I never even realized that was a thing.
Well, something where you could, where you step up the quality of it a tiny bit.
I guess.
When it comes to toilet paper, man, if I am in a public place and they have that single ply.
Oh, I hate it.
I want to die.
Yeah, however,
so we do.
We do have it here.
Do you?
It hurts. It hurts.
Yeah, but there are some people who buy 2-ply and they peel it apart.
I have heard of that.
Oh,
God, knock it off.
That's too much work.
Oh, yeah.
The labor that you're spending alone would warrant the cost of, you know, just anyway.
Construction paper.
I go for extra on the toilet paper, quilted, okay. You know, little patterns.
But if it's too quilted and too, it'll jam up the toilet, too. Yeah. You ever get that?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the truth. Even though they say facial quality, few use it on their face.
Yeah, Kate.
You know, I will say, listen, when I go shopping at, you know, the supermarket, there's a lot of things that I will buy that are store brand. And there's one thing, and I've talked about this on our show, that I cannot buy store brand, and it's Q-tips. It has to be the Q-tip
actual
brand.
Actual Q-tip.
Q-tips. He's a Q-tip connoisseur.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Because they come apart or something?
No, they bend.
They bend. Exactly. They bend.
And then you hemorrhage your brain.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But I've noticed that the Q-tip quality has gone down a little bit, but I'll still get the Q-tip.
Okay. Yeah.
What about you, Alex?
Lotion. I have to do like Lubriderm or one of those. I like it the thicker the lotion, the better. I don't want it to feel like watery. I need it to be. You know, you can't be ashy out here.
You just cannot be ashy. No.
Kathy wants to jump in.
Alex, what about for me? All feminine hygiene products are name brand. I'm not using the store brand for those.
You don't use the Mr. T stuff.
Oh, Summer's Eve, not Winter's Delight.
Yeah, we know what T stands for.
Mr. T, yes.
Yeah. Listen, you don't want to play around when it comes to those things. You
know? No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Name brand, I tend to, almost everything I buy, I try to get on. I figure you're getting what you pay for.
You just
for.
Assume it's better because it has a name brand. Because if they have the money.
Brand studies.
Yeah.
It's the same.
But who's paying them off? Where does the money go? That's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay. I
can see it with medicine, but other than that.
I buck up for good underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you wear it.
You know who has great underwear? The Phillies.
Oh, my God.
I'm wearing it right now.
You're not lying.
Right? I have them on.
Go to the Phillies. The Phillies souvenir underwear is the best underwear in the world.
Go to the Majestic store. Go to the ballpark, the store there. Their underwear is awesome.
You're buying good underwear because you're buying cheap toilet paper. That's why.
Yes, it.
Saving money.
I never thought about it that way, Tom.
I want to know what it is. Is it like the stitching?
It's so soft.
Yeah, it's like microfiber.
Yes.
And they look cool, too. I mean, they've got the logo on there. I mean,
and this team knows how to handle balls.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Yeah. Wow. The team didn't have a good season, but they make great underwear.
There you go.
Well, at least we have that. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Right, we'll see you later, guys.
You guys really
what?
Need to try the Fruit of the Loom underwear that I
that you make. About.
That I make. I stitch it at home with Scott toilet paper. Are you wearing Fruity Blues?
Calvin Klein. Klein?
Okay.
Calvin Klein.
Nothing comes between you and your Calvin Klein.
No. I don't care for Fruit of the Loom.
It's a new type of underwear that they make. It is breathable.
Assless.
It's not assless. It's breathable mesh.
I wear assless underwear. It's breathable.
Breathable mesh. And they either come in like long or.
Hang on, let me. Let me feel the. Mm-hmm. Casey's wearing.
Is it breathing?
That's cotton, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't do cotton underwear anymore.
No, you have to. You have to cup around the testicles.
Jeez, dude, I'm not gonna look.
Why not? Come on, I took
that's
a shower
your
last
patch
night.
Is. Yeah.
I hate that hair patch so
oh
much.
Oh, God,
man.
So do we.
Oh, my God. Cass, you're not allowed to hate it any more than I hate it.
Anyway.
Kathy's got an Ethernet port in her back.
That still feels like cotton. I'm not in on the cotton. But anyway, thank you for sharing
your
underwear.
I'm going to find out if it's cotton or not.
I know what it is. It's 8 o'clock.
We've got to do this.
MMR's birthday box.
All right, this morning we have a word for you, and we have $1,000, hopefully, for you with MMR's Birthday Box Part 2 contest. The keyword you need is yes. Don't text it. It's not going to work. What you have to do, we change things up. You have to enter it via our mobile app or at WMMR.com. It's simple to do. You have until 8:15. The word is yes, as in yes, I won $1,000. Y-E-S. So do that now. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it via WMMR's mobile app or at WMMR.com. One winner selected at random wins $1,000 in this company-wide contest. Good luck from 93.3 WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
All right, this morning brought to you by Bates Motel. This Halloween, you can get the number one rated haunted hayride in America at the Bates Motel in Glen Mills. Three heart-pounding attractions. Discount coupons at Dunkin' Donuts, or you can buy tickets at thebatesmotel.com. Well, a goat reportedly laid dead in a bowl of food for hours at the Alabama State Fair.
Oh, my God.
It appears to have died from an accidental injury by a camel, not neglect or abuse.
The camel killed it?
The camel killed the goat at the Alabama State Fair.
It's an Allman Brothers song.
An investigation was launched by the Pelham Police Department over the weekend after a fairgoer noted the small black goat was unresponsive and appeared to remain that way for 4 hours in the event's petting zoo.
Oh, man.
This is a terrible petting zoo.
Yeah, they don't even move. They're always sleeping.
Peyton Hill, her boyfriend Carter Johnstone, and several others went to the event Saturday night. Hill, shaken by what she saw, posted her observations and video on Facebook Sunday. She said that her group stopped briefly at the petting zoo when they first arrived at the fair. At that point, she said the fair had been going on for about 8 hours, and the animals appeared to be exhausted and without water. They were super dirty, she said, covered in feces, and I didn't see any water. By the way, everyone was cleared. There was no negligence. The animals were fine.
Oh, were they okay?
This is just what she thought.
So
they spotted a black goat laying with his head in the food bowl and not moving. She said, I figured it was exhausted from the weekend of constant interaction and moved on. She said they returned to the petting zoo about 4 hours later and immediately noticed the same black goat had not moved. It was then feared that the goat was dead. Her boyfriend reached into the pen, touched the goat, and said, yep, the animal was dead. Sure enough, it's dead.
Yeah, it's a dead goat.
At one point, he'll
say... yeah, it's a dead goat.
At one point, Hill said another animal was eating out of the food bowl while the goat was laying in it. Later, she said a miniature donkey stepped on the goat, and it still didn't move.
See, that donkey had just stepped on the goat.
Hill said that they approached the person who appeared to be in charge of the petting zoo and told him that the goat was dead. She said that he then picked up the goat's head, shook it, and dropped it back in the food bowl.
Who wants some monkey bread?
And she said, I started crying and left. Hill and her boyfriend reported the incident to a police officer outside the fair. The video sparked outrage on social media. Police said they received a complaint Saturday evening about a possible dead goat in the petting zoo. And during the course of the three-day investigation.
For the dead goat in the petting zoo.
The police chief, Larry Palmer, said in a statement late Monday, this is big news wherever this is in Alabama.
I just finished the interview with the llama. It saw nothing.
Police determined the goat died as a result of an injury caused by another animal in the petting zoo. The camel fell on the goat.
Oh, God.
Apparently the whole thing that happened. So
goats are cute.
They finally figured it
is
out.
Is there room, though, for a dead animal petting zoo?
I don't know that it's ever been tried.
You can still get the petting sensation.
You can definitely get all the petting sensation.
It's recycling, basically.
And you know what? Without the threat of a bite?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. You know, if they've died of natural causes for a brief period after, before they start to rot, let them, I don't know. It's the businessman in me.
We'll see if someone takes that on. The mother of a high school student took her case to federal courthouse, and her son, called John Doe in legal documents, did not make the varsity soccer team and was not allowed to play on the JV team. The woman's attorney said that the issue is age and sex discrimination. School officials said if a junior doesn't make the varsity team, the boy cannot play again on the junior varsity team. The school said this is to allow lower grade students a chance to develop their skills so that they will be prepared to try out for varsity. She doesn't think that's fair. She believes that her son, who's already played on the JV soccer team, is good enough to play again on the same team. The coach sent the family an email and said that their son was on the bubble. When it came to picking varsity team members, he wrote, the boy has holes in his technical ability and game decision making.
He stinks!
The family appealed the coach's ruling to the superintendent, who decided the family's complaint was
Mumiable and sakiable.
The mother's suit claims that her son was the victim of age and gender discrimination because she says the rules are different for the girls' soccer team. In the courtroom testimony from the coach indicating the seven jurors cut from the varsity team were not good enough to play on the JV team. He said the reason he said nice things about John Doe was to build the self-esteem and not punch him in the gut after being cut from the varsity team.
Ma'am, I ask you to consider that we're all still reeling from the dead goat story. Do you have no decency?
So this is going to federal court.
Federal court.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Please.
Like, Mom!
Right.
Stop.
Yeah.
I don't even like soccer.
All right, let's move on to a...
You've been married for 9 years.
Let's move on to a real story here. All right. A Domino's pizza delivery driver helped put an end to the assault and kidnapping of a woman who was being held in her Wisconsin home.
This is an amazing story.
A delivery man, Joseph Grundle, was handling the pizza over to a middle-aged couple in Sheboygan. There's a lot of good words here. Grundle and Sheboygan.
But Jummick was sick that night, so he would have had that route.
But this is on Wednesday when he noticed the woman behind the man paying was in distress. He said, I showed up. It was a normal delivery, and I saw this middle-aged couple. The guy answers the door. I hand over the pizza, and I noticed that the woman behind him, who turned out to be his ex, had a black eye, and she mouthed the words, help me. And then after, when the guy left to get the money, she mouthed, call the police. He said, this was as I was just about to leave. I left, and when I got back to the restaurant, which is about an 8-minute drive away, I called 911.
Isn't this amazing? Yeah. And that the guy picked up on it and was not about to, you know, say, maybe I'm misreading. He did the right thing.
Mm. Upon arriving at the scene, a sheriff's deputy saw the man trying to prevent the 57-year-old woman from opening the door. The man, who's identified as Dean Hoffman, eventually let deputies into the home after they stated they were going to enter forcefully to help the woman who was yelling, help me and please come in the background. The woman told the officers that she and Hoffman had previously been in a relationship and had lived together at another location from December to August 2016 to 18 when she moved out of the home that received the pizza delivery. Now, around 1 p.m. on Wednesday, Hoffman entered the woman's home uninvited. After the woman threatened to call authorities on him, he began to physically assault her, leaving her with a black eye and a bloody nose. He then allegedly dragged her to the second floor by her hair, where he bound her hands and feet with a vacuum power cord and gagged her with a towel.
Oh, man, she could have been killed.
The woman told investigators that she was sure she was going to die tonight. He reportedly made mentions of a gun that he should have brought with him into the home but left in his car. Police said they found a .22 caliber firearm in his trunk. Deputies arrested Hoffman on charges of strangulation and suffocation, false imprisonment, battery, intimidation of a victim, and burglary. He was also placed on suicide watch due to suicidal comments that he made to law enforcement and what appeared to be a suicide note that he wrote while the woman was tied up. He was going to kill her.
Yeah, he could kill himself, too. Murder-suicide.
Although Grundle hasn't had any further contact with the woman whom he helped, he said that her son... has stopped by his Domino's a few times to express his gratitude. So that guy saved her life, man. That's a pretty cool story.
It's a regular guy.
Yep. And there you go, your bizarre file for now. It is 8:10, roughly, and you have a few more minutes till 8:15 to send over the word yes via our WMMR mobile app.
Wait, this just impressed me. The goat was faking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
And WMMR.com. You want to get to that now. One winner selected at random wins $1,000 in the company-wide contest, so we wish you good luck. We're going to take a break, come back in a moment. A little while, our friend Adam Goldberg's going to be on the show, and our friends also from the Philly tour with Bud Light, Union Tap, are here. Nick's going to be there tomorrow night, don't forget, for an appearance and chance to win tickets and more. We'll be back in a second. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
The Union Tap in Northeast Philly is here this morning, and they're in for the Bud Light Philly tour that's taking place. Nick will be at their location tomorrow, 7 to 9 p.m. You can enter to win Eagles-Panthers tickets. And they also have an autographed Chris Long Eagles helmet, courtesy of Bud Light, to give away.
Oh, nice.
Now, they brought in this morning some food. And one of the things is called a Delphia burger.
Delphia burger. There's about 50 of them out there.
And so it's a burger, and I'll probably get this wrong, but I'll do my best. A burger with cheesesteak, pork roll, and I am intrigued by this, though. Cherry pepper Thousand Island dressing on it on a pretzel roll. Did I get it all right?
And
insane.
Shavings from the Liberty Bell.
Ah. Yeah.
They tried to make it as Philly as possible.
It's I'm all about decadence and awesome tasting food, but I just can't do it today.
You can't,
For the past 2 weeks or so, we've had so many restaurants come in and bring this stuff in, and I've been eating it, and
you have reflux?
It's going to kill me. I don't have reflux. I'm getting fat.
I agree.
So
it shows you, though, how great the freaking food is.
They're phenomenal. So somebody else try it and tell me how great it is.
I did.
Okay, good.
Nick's on his third, and he's actually eating part of the table right now.
Well, listen, I didn't want to go overboard with the calories, so
you had all those pretzels the other night.
I only ate 3/4 of it.
Okay.
But it's freaking delicious. They also have these cheesesteak egg rolls with a fiery pepper sauce. Yeah, how was it?
Damn good.
All right. So we're there from 7 to 9 tomorrow, right? 7
yeah.
to 9? Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to mention, oh, it's right off the boulevard. So it's in Northeast Philly, and it's right near where the Nabisco factory once was. So, yeah.
Okay. Know exactly where that is.
Yeah. So swing by if you can tomorrow night, 7 to 9.
Nice. Don't forget, we have a secret text word, pair of tickets to see John Oliver Saturday, December 30th at the new Met in Philadelphia. 7 p.m. is when the show is. So text word secret to 39333. We'll see if you can win a little bit later on this morning. We're going to have Adam Goldberg on in about 30 minutes. So I want to move right along. But Steve, you sent me this morning Tina Fey, another one of our
We love her.
Representatives of the area, is going to join the cast of Broadway's Mean Girls at the August Wilson Theater today because it is Mean Girls Day. October 3rd is apparently Mean Girls Day. And what? I guess according to a meme
I guess
that runs this time every year.
It's in the movie. It is a subtle joke that I remember I laughed the first time I heard it. And we have the actual audio clip. She's trying to there's the hot guy who sits in front of her, Lindsay Lohan, in school.
Yeah.
And she's trying to show how she's making progress with him.
That's right.
And it's a very Tina Fey-ish joke that not some people miss, but I think it's pretty funny.
Talking to Aaron more and more. On October 3rd, he asked me what day it was.
It's October 3rd.
Yeah, so, you know, that's and so that alone sparked the meme,
right,
which has made this officially Mean Girls Day.
So apparently today, 8th Avenue will be symbolically dubbed West Fetch Street.
That's so fetch.
And fetch is the phrase. Yeah. That they, what's your name again?
I've forgotten the character's name.
Notebook.
Her.
We love her. Yeah. No. No.
Rachel McAdams.
It's not Rachel. Rachel McAdams doesn't want it to be fetch.
Amanda Seyfried.
Oh no. No. It's
Lacey Chabert.
Lacey Chabert. Yes.
Lacey Chabert.
She wants. She wants to get fetch as a phrase. And Rachel Adams keeps shooting it down. Stop trying to make fetch work.
Right. Right. It's never going to work. The ceremony is set to take place before Wednesday evening special fan performance, open only to those who won tickets by entering a digital lottery. And apparently Tina Fey celebrated last year by handing out cheese fries in front of the theater. Is that in the movie as well, cheese fries?
There probably is.
I only really saw it the one time we went to go see it in the movie theater.
I've seen it like 60 times.
Really?
Because it runs so much. And there's so many great little things that you, when they encounter Tina Fey as the math teacher out in the mall, and she's wearing her other Jobs outfit, which has like flare buttons on it. So
oh my
we
God.
Assume she works at like an Applebee's or something. And she goes, this is not too embarrassing.
The only thing about that movie, I remember, like I said, I think I've only seen it one time, that kind of turned me off to it was when the principal had called everybody together for a meeting and they did the trust fall thing and
all that stuff.
And I was just like,
watch it again. It's actually pretty funny.
Okay.
It's Tim Meadows, who's the principal. And, you know, remember, as this is the truth, when the movie came out and Lindsay Lohan had all that promise, we took a whole bunch of dirty old guys with us to go watch it.
We called it the Dirty Old Man Matinee.
Dirty Old Man Matinee.
Because she just turned 18 years old.
And one lesbian, remember?
Yes, one lesbian. Yeah. And she loved it.
Right.
She's a big Lindsay fan.
That is right. By the way, Tina Fey was spotted this weekend at RuPaul's Drag Con, New York City, which hosted a panel called Too Gay to Function, the Cultural History of Mean Girls.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Mean Girls is big in the gay community or
something. Well, you've got a lot. Yes, it is.
There's a character who's gay, and he's one of the best friends of Lindsay Lohan in the movie. And he was sort of a pioneer in gay characters not being ridiculously flamboyant in a movie. And on Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Exactly.
Yes. So and I the burn book.
Some people are wearing pink today. Yeah, the burn book as well was a big deal.
All that stuff. The movie it holds up. Her script is super sharp. And I don't know what the musical, you know, I sometimes when they flesh these things out with music, it's gotten decent reviews and some good reviews. But I don't know. It's always a crapshoot. Like the Christmas Story. Did you guys see the Christmas Story musical?
No, I see?
I didn't see it. You know why I didn't go see it?
Why?
Friggin' expensive.
Really? How much?
Oh, my God.
How much were tickets going for?
Tickets were hundreds of dollars each. And this is something that I would take my whole family to. So here I go. I want to bring the five of us up there. Oh, it'll only cost $1,000.
Yeah. Let's go see a $1,000 matinee.
Yeah.
Well, we're going up there on Saturday to see Dear Evan Hansen, and it's going to cost us a few bucks.
Will it cost you $1,000 maybe?
Because we're going to stay overnight. So, you know, that. And
are you going to get a hotel room or are you just going to sleep in the park?
No. We found a nice bush in Central Park.
Yeah, yeah.
It's big enough for the five of us.
I bet you it's probably the Broadway bush where mm-hmm. everyone who doesn't want to pay for hotel sleeps.
I'm trying to think. Let's say tickets were $127 each. You know, that times five plus a hotel room.
You just get nailed.
Mm-hmm. But it was my Father's Day slash birthday present.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Yeah.
That's justified.
It was nice.
Hang on a second. Anthony was on the set of Mean Girls. I don't know why. Anthony, hey. Hi. You're on the air.
Guys. Hey, how you doing? Hey, listen. I used to work in film and television in Toronto, Canada.
Okay.
And I was working on Resident Evil Apocalypse, which is a big budget movie.
Yeah.
And next door, my buddies were working on this little tiny movie called Mean Girls. And I was busted on my buddy for it. And I remember going next door, and my buddy Alex, and I said, Alex, who's in the movie? And he said, Lindsay Lohan. I'm like, who the hell's that? At the time, I had no idea she was. And I remember going next door, and the Honey Wagons, which were the little trailers for the little no-name cast members, are there. And it was Rachel McAdams, Amanda Seyfried, and the other girl were there. And they were absolute nobodies in a corner, like sitting on these little chairs. Like, they're like extras almost. Like, huh. I had no idea who anybody was. I remember I walked on the set, and I was kind of bored because I was doing the big action movie, which is actually totally forgotten now. And I was laughing at him for this little girly movie. And now
well, it's not totally forgotten because tomorrow is Resident Evil Apocalypse Day. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, believe me, it's in the $5.
Yeah. No, but it's you're right. Those were all like very. Lindsay Lohan had a bit of, you know, she had been in a number of Disney movies. She'd done Freaky Friday. And so it was sort of the ongoing thing. There was the countdown clock to her being legal. Everyone else in the cast was a bit older, like Rachel McAdams was, I think, in 23, 22 or
something. I lived in Toronto. McAdams is from Toronto. So I remember running into her a few times afterwards, and she was absolutely nobody. And then all of a sudden, one day, I see the Notebook advertisement go across the screen. I'm like, oh, my God, it's that girl running across the screen.
Yep, there you go. Wow. And Lindsay Lohan now is bitch-slapping homeless people in Russia.
Yeah.
Look at this. Lindsay Lohan. The one thing I do remember from her, though, was she had a young girl kicked off the set because the girl's hair color was too close to her hair color in the scene.
Dude, did you see that, or is that just a rumor?
No, I know first. No, right. My friends were on the movie. Believe me, this is first-hand knowledge from the assistant directors in the set. These are people who were there. It absolutely happened. I remember hearing the story. I was like, get out of here. So I've seen stuff myself. I worked on separate
movies. I believe you. I was just wondering if it was some of those jealous Resident Evil Apocalypse guys.
When it happened, it was at the time when it happened. I remember we were talking on a weekend. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This girl did that. But it absolutely happened.
I believe it. That's bad.
Yeah.
You don't like to, you know, you can be as pretty as anything, but if you don't have a good personality,
yeah.
It just kills it.
Yep.
Very true.
Looks like me. Listen.
Anthony, thanks, man. Appreciate it, bud.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you later. No, I believe that. She was starting to, that's when she was starting to change.
Yes.
And think that she was really, really.
Started smoking cigarettes.
All that.
Hanging out behind the school.
Mm-hmm. Next thing you know.
She ran with the bad crowd. It was Samantha Ronson and the whole group. Remember all that stuff?
Yeah.
Now she's getting bitch slapped.
Yes.
Where was she?
She was in Moscow.
She was in Moscow. Yeah.
By Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
Jesus.
There was a story in TMZ about the family. Look at the family, though. Michael Lohan and Dina Lohan.
That's true. Just
declared bankruptcy.
You know what?
$1.5 million in debt. And Michael Lohan, who's been in jail countless times.
I forgot about that.
Wears mesh shirts. Need I say anything more?
All right. Well, anyhow, it's Mean Girls Day.
Do
what you do to celebrate, I guess.
Or
you can go up to New York and check out all the festivities that are taking place. You know, I guess this is the junk drawer, technically.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because I've got a few things that I need to unload or else they are just going to stay in there forever.
And they'll rot. They'll get sticky.
We don't want that. So the Ryder Cup took place over the weekend. It's a big golf event once a year. It's America versus Europe. And it's a big team sport. It's the only big team event that golf has. It's a big deal. But the Ryder Cup organizers say that they're going to support for as long as necessary a spectator who is hit by a tee shot. She's reportedly lost sight in her right eye.
What she said?
I have some quotes here and stuff. Yeah. But
ouch was the first thing.
But dude, her it looks like her eyeball exploded.
That's what she said.
It exploded. Did you look at the pictures?
I did.
Errant was this tee shot? I mean, was it like right off the bat? Or?
I didn't see the shot taking
place. I don't want to see it.
It was from Brooks Koepka, who's got arms like a python, by the way.
Yeah.
And it was at the sixth hole, and the woman's name is Corinne Ramande. She's 49 years old, or Ramande. I don't know how you say her name. But anyhow, she lost vision in her right eye, and she's going to try and sue them, I believe.
As I was reading the story, and it said, you had to click on it to see the picture, but I had to. If they're saying it's the eyeball exploded and it was a mess. And also the orbital socket was cracked as well. So it had to be, fairly close. So, Preston, I wasn't familiar with the golfer. But don't most golf clubs, if you're there as a spectator, your very presence there, aren't you basically...
There's a good chance you can get hit.
Relinquishing.
I would think so.
I mean, it's kind of understood. Are there things posted?
I don't know. Maybe it says it on the ticket. Maybe it's one of those signs that you just walk past without even looking at while you're on the course. I don't know, but what I do know is when I see those galleries at the tee box, there's no way. No way in hell you would ever see me on either side of that gallery. No way.
Well, there's also, and they said four, they yelled four a number of times.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah. So okay. And yes, Casey, you're right. Sometimes, Steve, they'll hit an errant shot. It goes off of the fairway, and they'll have to move the crowd, and they'll have people almost in the target line of where they're hitting, just off of a tad bit. And it doesn't matter how good you are, you're going to have an errant shot every now and then, and people can get, hit in the head. Really
when was the last time, do you recall ever seeing someone else get clocked in the face with a golf ball at any...
Oh, it happens at almost every event.
Does it?
Ah, really?
Okay.
Somebody gets hit in the head. Okay. Or, a golf ball will... There's going to be an errant ball. These guys are great, but they're not, they're not free of mistakes.
Right.
And people get hit all the time.
So really, as a spectator, what's the difference between this and going to a ball game and being aware of foul balls coming into the stands?
That's a good point. There was the big issue about how far they're going to extend the foul ball nets down the different parks.
And it's noticeable. I went to a couple games this year, and they're longer, and they're above the dugouts now, so people are more protected. But you're still aware, if a left-handed batter's coming up and you're on the third base side, you should, as a fan, be aware the line drive might come your way.
And you should pay attention.
Ramande also blamed Ryder Cup organizers for the lack of protection on the course. She said a course official did not shout when he noticed the ball was heading toward the crowd. That's what she says. But the tour said ball strikes are an occasional hazard for spectators, but this kind of incident is extremely rare. We can confirm that four was shouted several times, but also appreciate how hard it can be to know when and where every ball is struck. If you are in the crowd, we are hugely sympathetic and we'll do everything we can to support the spectator and so far as possible under very difficult circumstances. Okay. So if somebody yells four, you can still duck your head. And if you don't know where the ball is, that doesn't mean ducking head might actually put your head in the dangerous spot. Correct. You don't know.
Would it benefit the spectators to offer diving helmets?
diving helmets?
Yeah.
You could back it up and maybe do like a bike helmet or something like that. But
sure.
Like a full diving helmet with a closed grid. So to me, it sounds like she was down the fairway quite a bit.
I guess.
And it just, ended up in out of bounds or whatever. But have you ever been hit with a ball?
Yeah.
I got hit and I got lucky. I got hit
in the face?
No, in my back.
Okay.
Yeah, I got hit in my back too.
But it was Bill Beck. You guys know Bill. He hit me with one on at Valley Brook, and it was kind of my own fault. I shouldn't have been standing where I was standing,
which is right in front of him.
No, well, kind of, but I ducked down, and it kind of just skidded off my back, so it didn't necessarily plunk me right in the back. But it is a fear of mine that I'm going to get hit somewhere terrible.
Well, I didn't realize that it happens virtually every tournament or every.
Not every tournament. Press, did you get plunked in the back or?
No, I got line drive.
Oh, God.
In the back. I think every event somebody gets hit. Over the course of 4 days.
Okay.
How many people die during an average golf tournament?
Maybe not hit in the head or something like that, but almost every event you'll see at least a ball goes into a gallery to a crowd and somebody doesn't know what's coming. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to get clocked on the head. They might get, you know, hit on the leg or something along those lines. But balls will hit people.
Statistically, what do you think is the most dangerous sport for spectators to watch? Would it be racing?
Wow.
Hmm. Well, I mean, statistically, probably golf. If you're saying everybody gets, some, or not everybody.
everybody who goes to watch gets killed.
No, but if somebody's getting hit with a ball every single...
Well, and there's no protection
every single
golf tournament. I mean, mm-hmm. you're protected by nets at hockey games. You're protected by nets at baseball games. The soccer balls end up in the stands. I mean, I've seen people get plonked in the face by a soccer ball, and that can be harmful, but it's not that commonplace.
I came so close to getting plunked in the face last night. We were doing our conference
call. I thought you did.
No. It went right over my head.
Soccer ball.
I was at my daughter's soccer game, and I had looked down for a moment to get something off the calendar of my phone.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I mean, it was about a half of a second when I look down, and then next thing I know, ball right over my face.
So if you're talking, though, about besides a soccer ball, which mm-hmm. can cause some damage, but you're talking like a hard ball or a golf ball or something that is like a bullet, you know, or the debris from a car that's run up in a NASCAR race or whatever. So here we have a thing up on the screen here, Preston.
Okay.
The number of spectator deaths at racing events pales in comparison with the number of spectator deaths at soccer games.
Is that from audience altercations?
Yeah, I got to believe that.
And there's more soccer games.
Yeah, that's true.
It's clear that thousands of people have died at soccer games. Many of the deaths were the result of unsafe stadium conditions. And it starts to cite a bunch of different things that have happened over the years.
I want the statistics that pertain to the actual spectator deaths caused by the sport itself.
Right. If you're talking about deaths.
Or significant injuries.
Injury, okay. Because, yeah, NASCAR, there's definitely people have died. Well, not just NASCAR, but professional racing. Definitely people have been killed at that.
I think running bases with a hand grenade is a dangerous sport.
hang on, let me go to Josh. Hey, Josh, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Can't believe I'm on. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Josh?
I just wanted to fill you in on PA law about getting hit with the golf ball.
Okay.
I don't know about France where the Ryder Cup was, but if you're a spectator, you cannot sue the course. You cannot sue the golfer unless they did it intentionally. If you're immediately off the course, let's say you move there, then in California, they say you can still sue. In New York, they say you shouldn't have moved right next to a golf course. Unless you were expecting to get hit by golf balls. Pennsylvania has never decided that question.
To me,
the only other type is if you're driving by and get hit, you can sue the golf course.
Okay, so if you're driving down a street that where the street runs parallel to a golf course and a golf ball comes through your windshield or you get hit, then you can sue. But you're saying that the law pretty much dictates that if you are there at a golf course watching a golfing event, you have surrendered your right to sue if you get hit by a golf ball.
That's right, watching or golfing or caddying.
Okay.
All right, wait, hold on. I do have to ask for personal knowledge. So if you are the golfer at a golf course and you hit a ball, it goes out in the street and hits a car, they can sue the golf course, not the golfer?
If you intentionally hit it onto the street, they can sue you.
But right.
That's correct. If it's just a normal shot, you're trying to hit it in the fairway.
That 11th hole at Paxton.
I was playing at White Marsh one time, and there's this par 3 that's right next to the hole. Thank you for your call, by the way, Josh. And I hit it, and it just sliced, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, and it's a busy street.
Germantown?
Yeah, heading towards it into, like, Chestnut Hill. Yeah Germantown. And I just leaned down and cringed and shut my eyes, and I'm like waiting to hear. And thankfully, I never heard anything.
Good
to know that I wouldn't be sued for that.
I used to live on a street that was actually, it was Brentwood Golf Course, the glorious Brentwood Golf Course in Brentwood, which you could either get hit with a golf ball or the constant bullet fire. But balls from the golf course would constantly come down the street, you know, hitting houses.
Who yells for?
The golfer does.
The golfer himself.
Yeah. I would imagine it's...
The gallery.
If it came down to legality, I would imagine the golfer would have to yell for if somebody was going to get hit by it and you didn't warn them ahead of time. But usually, when you're playing with a group of people, everybody will yell.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody will start yelling for. So... it's just to warn the people, you know, that
the people calling the golf game say, there's a lucky fan when you get clocked in the eye, when your eye explodes.
When people do get hit with a golf ball and they do get hit in the head from time to time, the golfer will come over. First of all, they'll make sure they're all right. And then it's customary for them to give them a glove and a ball or something. They usually give them a memento of some sort.
By golf rules, what does that mean as far as strokes? If it's ricocheted, let's say it's ricocheted off someone's face.
It's fair game.
Yeah. Fair game.
Yeah. So wherever the ball, if the ball bounced off their face and went into the hole, it would count.
What if the ball is smashed, goes down their throat? Do you have to wait for it to pass through the excretory system?
There's probably a rule for that.
I wouldn't doubt it because when I was researching, we had you and Steve Ranazzisi, and we had golf trivia, and I did some research. The amount of permutations of golf law and golf rules would blow your mind. There was stuff that was freaking you guys out.
There's a difference between whether a wild animal picks up your ball or a dog, a domesticated animal, will pick up your ball. There's rulings on that.
There is, yeah.
It's crazy.
At the end of Happy Gilmore, when all the scaffolding falls down and he has to play it as it lies, do you think that that is playing by the rules? Do you think that that's like a PGA realistic scenario?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Because he would be hindered by an immovable object.
Okay.
And he would be allowed relief from that.
Okay. What about when it landed on that guy's foot and just stayed there on his foot?
Oh, the big Jaws, right? The guy that played Jaws and
Richard Kiel.
Richard Kiel, yeah.
No, I don't think he'd have to play it off that. I think that was it was a movie.
Wait, this is Pretend?
And it was Pretend.
I keep telling people it's a documentary.
Lee Trevino's in it.
By the way, speaking of getting hit by stuff, do you guys see the story, the local story of a kid that was ambushed with these guys with a paintball gun?
Yes. Yeah. No.
Kid goes to the door, opens up the door, and somebody's standing there with an automatic paintball gun. Hits his kid with 25 paintballs, and I was thinking, wow, that really stings. I've had that before. Did you see the pictures of the kid?
No, I did not. I just heard the story.
Oh, my God.
Where'd they get him?
Just all over his legs. Okay. Blood blisters all over him, bleeding. And I was like, oh, dude.
So
25 times. Yeah, it was local.
We used to do Paintball Jeopardy. Yeah. You remember that? Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was
for science.
Those were willing
participants.
Drunk participants.
Yes, that's part of a radio experiment.
Drunk participants.
And it was condoned by the Vatican.
And their friends were shooting them.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So here's a few of the pictures. The ones I saw were the kid, they were still fresh. It was, this is him.
And that looks close up.
They cleaned him up a little bit.
It's like point blank.
Mm-hmm. Poor kid. Aww. And I have no idea, it was in New Jersey somewhere, I have no idea what the scenario was as far as who may have done this, if they knew him or something like that. But
that reminds me. There's somebody's ass I need to kick from years and years ago.
Yeah?
My neighbor's friend shot my little brother with a paintball gun. My little brother was just, walking in the backyard, and he shot him with a paintball. And I never kicked his ass for that.
Did you see it happen?
No.
Remember me?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a vendetta.
I do.
You go all Michael Corleone. You show up. He's sitting there in the chair. He's too old. He's falling asleep.
Right? Hey. My name is a Casey boy. Hey, you're talking the name while you saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Hey, and this is for you, you son of a bitch. Stick the knife in his stomach.
I don't.
Or
that's
you could just smear paint on his face.
I brought you some. I brought you some butter.
Yeah.
Instead of olive oil.
Yeah. Maybe
it's just good on waffles.
Maybe just like a slap in the face would. Would suffice.
You wouldn't want a knife up his stomach?
No, I don't think I have to stab him in the stomach.
But. Would he, did you ever say anything to this guy?
No.
Is he older?
It's more impactful if you never say anything.
No, he's around my age.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to say his name on air?
Yeah, Chris Capriati. He's
Do you know him?
I know him. He's a good guy. He's a dick. But,
I'm getting conflicting messages here.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. You said right on the show you wanted to stick a knife in his stomach.
I've actually talked about him on the air. He's the same guy who he did a best man speech at a wedding where he talked about the groom's package.
Yes. Oh, and that's right. Mm-hmm. How big it was. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. He's kind of a clown, but Chris, one of these days, out of nowhere, I'm going to slap you in the face.
Hey, you got shot with... Yeah. How many paintballs?
A thousand. But I was a willing participant.
Yeah.
And you had
I had some gear on.
You had some gear on as well.
Except for my feet.
Minimize, and that's where they were aiming at your feet. Okay, interesting. I could go to some other stories, but we're kind of running low on time. So you want me to get a couple of these calls here?
Yeah, just quickly.
This one sounds interesting. I'll go to Kelly, see how this happened. Hi, Kelly, good morning.
Hi, that's so fetch.
So fetch.
Mean Girls Day. What's up, Kelly?
Hi, so I'm listening to you guys talk about your golf stories, and I guess unfortunately have one. When I was 11 and my cousin, who I idolized, was 15, We were golfing at my neighbor had a 3-hole golf course behind her house, and we were sharing a club. And so my ball was further away, so I said I was going to hit first. And at this point, our stories kind of differ. But I told him to move, or so I remember, and he didn't. And when I swung, I caught him in the back of the head and came across his ear, and his ear was hanging on by half an inch. I was half an inch from his temple.
Oh, my God.
And it took 63 stitches inside and out.
Oh, my God.
63?
To reattach his ear?
Yep, to reattach his ear.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
That's where the story differs.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, he dropped to the ground and was cursing. And again, I idolized this kid. So I just, 11 years old, ran to my house and sat in the fetal position until they called us from the hospital. I mean, this was 30
So you did the right thing. You ran away and went into the fetal position. Well, you were a kid. You didn't know.
Kelly, what did he have any problems with his hearing after that?
Oh, and I mean, if you didn't know.
She did.
I'm sorry. Did he have any hearing issues after that?
No, he did not. If you didn't know that it had happened, you wouldn't even know.
Okay.
I mean, the scar is there, but you have to know to look for it.
In a very inspiring story, he now works as a professional listener.
Wow.
So
that's very inspiring.
Inspiring story.
Until a therapist came into his life. I can help you. Excuse me? I said I can help you.
Wow, that's pretty wild. Were you guys able to patch things up after that, Kelly?
Yeah, it was a little tumultuous for a while. He forgave me immediately, but I, of course, had, you know, a lot of guilt and actually ran away a second time when I found out he was coming to visit me after he was out of the hospital.
Oh, wow.
All right, well, thanks, Kelly. Did you give up the game of golf after that?
No, but I will not swing a club unless I've looked around about 5 times.
Yeah,
it took
good
a
call.
Long time to use a 4-iron after that.
Yeah, all right.
Never use anything more than a putter.
Wow. Let me go to okay. I'll go to Nick here. Hi, Nick. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? You rock.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. What's the story you want to tell us?
So my dad and I were at Riverwinds Golfing, which is a beautiful golf course, and we were on the back nine, and you have to cross over the fairway in the one hole, and we looked, and the guy waved us on, but his buddy behind him didn't see, I guess.
Oops.
And as we're crossing, the ball comes, and it nipped the front of my nose.
Wow.
And hit my dad in the hand and shattered the top of his hand.
So it nicked your nose and shattered your dad's hand.
Shattered the top. Every bone in the top of his hand was broken. And if I would have been leaning forward about 3 or 4 inches, it would have hit me right in the side of the head.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah.
The velocity that they're traveling at, the ball is hard, you know, in and of itself. But you think of it shattering a hand, but it must have caught it at the absolute wrong angle, and that was it.
When it hit, it sounded like you took two, like, pieces of wood and slapped them together. Like, we had no idea what happened.
Yeah.
It was so loud. And my dad was just in so much pain, and when we went to the front, they gave us like 2 free rounds of golf and stuff.
Here's 2 free rounds of golf.
Yeah. I hope you can make a fist.
Yeah.
The guys didn't acknowledge it either. Like, after they hit us, my dad's freaking out, I'm yelling, and they just kind of like looked at us, didn't say one word.
Oh, now that's not cool. That is not.
You're supposed to give him a glove or something, right?
Well, that's
here,
only if you're a
here's a glove.
Yeah, here, have a glove.
A welding glove. I'm
You'll never be able to wear it, but here you go. Wow, thanks, Nick. I appreciate it. That thing about being on a golf course, man, if you're strolling about and it doesn't matter who's hitting the ball, no matter how bad they are, that ball's going to hit you.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it'll happen. You could pay someone $1 million, say, see that person down there? If you can hit this golf ball and hit them, I'll give it to you. You'll never do it. But when you're trying not to hit someone, you'll hit them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you ever hit someone with a ball?
No. I've hit into groups before by accident, you know, not realizing that they weren't over like a...
You were playing too slow.
No, there's blind shots that you do.
Oh, you have no idea.
That someone's there and it's like, oh my God, what did I just do? I'm that guy.
At Springfield, this guy hit into us. It was a blind shot. He didn't necessarily know what he was doing, and he came really, really close to hitting me. So what I did, I actually took the ball, and I ran, and I threw it in the hole. So he thought he actually held the ball on his second shot, which was actually kind of funny,
yeah.
I think.
And you showed him.
Showed him.
Yeah, wow. Dude, I just made him think he had a hole in one. That'll teach him to be inconsiderate.
But it was really funny to hear the reaction because he's like, no, man, where's the ball at? Because we were on the next tee box. Oh, man, I thought I hit it around here. And then he's like, somebody check the hole, you know? And he, oh, my God!
A fun prank to do on people, especially if you're playing in an outing where there's tons of people, everybody's drinking, and you know some accidents happen.
Sure.
If they hit into you before they come up, you put their ball up on a tee.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, really?
Like on the green or on the fairway, and they roll up and they're like, oh man,
they know. Oops.
Yep. All right. Anyhow, well, this woman's eyeball exploded.
Exploded.
And it's from Brooks Koepka. He's the guy who won the U.S. Open, and he can hit the ball hard,
right,
really hard. So,
got a glove.
She did get a glove.
Yeah.
I don't know. we have a movie screening of Gershbumsch 2.
Gershbumsch?
Oh, my God. And it is a family four-pack to join Kathy Romano.
Ooh!
For a screening on Wednesday.
Kind of.
Yeah. On Wednesday.
She changed their lives by showing them Gershberms. Her name is Kathy Romano.
This is going to be Wednesday, October 10th at 6:30, UA King of Prussia. So it's four packs. It's for you to bring your family, all right?
From Touchstone Pictures, the Gershberm Shower.
Yeah. So you'll need to be there by 6 o'clock, October 10th, by the way, in King of Prussia. So we'll take five callers right now, and we'll set you up with that. 215-263-WMMR. Goosebumps 2 hits theaters on October 12th. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. Adam Goldberg on the show when we get back, all right?
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I think our next guest pertains to the first line in this song. So I'm going to play a little bit of it before we go to him. And I haven't heard this in a while anyway. And I always did enjoy this song for many, many reasons. But I'll let this first line play out.
One Saturday, I took a walk to Zipperhead. I met a girl there and she almost knocked me dead. Oh, God, girl, please look at me.
So the Goldbergs is going to focus in on Zipperhead.
Which is so cool.
I know. I love it. And it'll be on tonight. So let's welcome the creator, Adam Goldberg himself, to the show. Hey, Adam. How you doing, man?
Good. Thank you.
Excellent. All right. Now, we've had you on the show many times. We've talked about, your time in Jenkintown growing up and all that stuff. Did you spend much time down on South Street amongst that that culture and that age when Zipperhead was like, oh, my God, this is a bizarre place?
I mean, I went to a school, Penn Charter, so there were kids that were kind of all over the city that went. So I had a couple friends that lived in Center City, and one of my favorite things was getting to go there, and I would always try to angle to go to South Street just because it was so different than Jenkintown. It was like the polar opposite. So I always would kind of go in there as if it was the scariest place in the world just because they had, like, jackets with patches on them, and the whole thing was kind of crazy.
Well,
I mean, I would always go in. I would never buy anything. I would just look around, and it was just kind of like a world that I didn't know.
So it was the real deal, where you have things like in the malls, you have like Hot Topics and things of that nature that sort of try to capture that vibe. Zipperhead was wholly its own thing. So, and South Street has gone through a couple of different phases, but I could see at a point when we first started doing the radio show here on 20 years we've been doing this, but South Street had that reputation that was sort of a bohemian counterculture deal, and so but occasionally you go down, but it was it was kind of going across, not enemy lines, but you were kind of going into a realm you were not familiar with, correct?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yes, for sure.
And so Adam on the show, he has a flirtation with the punk rock culture, correct?
Yeah, I mean it's actually a 100% true story, which is I had a girlfriend at the time that spent some time in Manhattan and then all of a sudden was like really fringy and cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always a girl, always a girl.
Yeah.
So in real life what I did was I went and bought a chain wallet and that was my move.
A chain wallet. That's perfect. Yeah.
So, and our joke, I still actually know her name's Jackie. I know her today. And it, the wallet said, live hard, ride hard, which I don't even understand
what that means. Oh, my God.
Live hard, ride hard, on, which is what you want in your wallet where you keep your money. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But that's reflected in the episode tonight. And it's also a bit of an homage to Greece. The name of the episode is You Got Zugoed.
Yes.
Yes.
That's because, I mean, really the episode came about because the actress, Rowan Blanchard, who played Jackie, is doing movies and she's like a model for Prada now. So she's not even in the country. So it was just too hard to get her.
Right.
So we were going to have to recast the role. And then I told the story about how, my girlfriend at the time just, you know, when I saw her coming back from the summer, I didn't even recognize her.
Oh.
And we came up with this whole idea where we're going to cast a different actress and do a story about how sometimes, you know, back then there was no, you know, Facebook, there was no internet. So if someone came back, people would reinvent themselves over the summer and come back and you would be like,
true.
Oh, that person grew 6 inches or, you know, that person lost a ton of weight or that person has a whole new style. So we cast a different actress and the joke is that Adam is like Danny Zuko, which is, you know, his girlfriend comes back in the movie Grease and Adam is the Sandy. So he has to basically change in order to keep his girlfriend. And that's the whole message of Grease.
It's so it's so tonally perfect the way you're able to and your writers. And I was just saying to Casey before we came on, if you take the show, you know, just on a basic surface level as sort of a nostalgic look at the 80s and blah, 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 a family, it's basically a family comedy, which is how it works. But, you know, I think I hope people don't give short shrift to the dense comedic writing. The amount of really stellar dialogue that's going on from minute to minute in the show, and the fact that you're able to incorporate, everyone has had that experience where, you know, in fact, that's one of the big thrills of coming back to school after summer. I remember, Burr Road High School, junior high, actually, on Long Island, there was the Tracy Philby came back and something had happened during the summer. And it's just one of those revelatory moments. So so the actress who was originally playing this role is no longer available. So that's an ingenious move to have her come back as a punk
chick. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a great episode. And, you know, we're in season 6 now. So we're just I joke this is the year. This is like your jump the shark year where you just get to do a lot of crazy stuff that you haven't done. I think before I would have just probably written the character off the show and not wanted to have someone new.
Yeah.
But this year, like, I'm just trying to do a lot of really fun stuff that we've always wanted to do. We have on Rick Springfield. We do a whole Jesse's Girl episode, which airs next week. I begged for a year Robert Englund to come on the show and do Freddy Krueger.
Yes.
Which he hasn't done in 20 years, so I wore him down and he came and he spent 4 hours in makeup and put on the mask and has a whole scene with Beverly. So there's just, this year I'm doing a lot of kind of really fun, bigger stuff. Because, you know, once you've done 120 episodes, why not have on Freddy Krueger?
Yeah, it's absolutely, you're right. And the show is showing no signs of jumping the shark. So it's just a furthering, you're just widening the boundaries a bit, but we're loving it.
And by the way, it's in the 80s when Bonte did jump the shark.
it's true. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, so speaking of that, and I have a couple of questions here, is what year are we in right now? Or is it just kind of like...
It's always 80-something.
It's always 80-something, right?
Yes. There it is. I think one episode this year, it's clearly set in 82, and then the next year it's in 89. So it is... I am sticking with that whole concept. which has been great. And it really was just because I didn't want to have to wait 9 years to get to the Nintendo Power Glove.
Right. Yeah. Who the hell would want to wait for that?
Yeah. I mean, but Adam, you know, the character is aging in this, and so I love that approach to this show. You had asked us in past interviews if we had any ideas or concepts that were totally 80s and totally Philadelphia send them your way. And I'm not sure if you had ever heard of a dance club it's in Delaware County called Pulsations. Have you ever heard of that?
It's so funny you say that because we're doing this year we're doing Barry is engaged foolishly and recklessly, and we were doing yesterday we were talking about where's the place you would go for your bachelor party that is ABC friendly.
That's ABC friendly.
That's it.
Right. And I said there was some club with a ridiculous name, and I kept saying Friction or something like that, but it's Pulsations.
Pulsations, because Pulsations had the robot.
Yeah, so the thing, it had a robot, and if you have ever seen Rocky IV, the robot in Rocky IV was the robot that would come out of the ceiling at Pulsations, and on Sundays, Pulsations was open for children to go to. Any other time, it was a 21 and over club.
Well, but there was the Fizz that was out in Bucks County.
Does that sound familiar? The Fizz, Adam?
I don't know the Fizz.
Okay.
Well, I know Pulsations.
Okay.
Which is really weird because yesterday we were Googling like dance club. I kept saying Friction. So Pulsations. And by the way, I was so obsessed with that robot.
Yeah.
That I had it in my bar mitzvah.
You had the Pulsations robot at your bar mitzvah.
Pulsar?
Pulsar is the robot's name.
Pulsar the robot I had at my bar mitzvah.
You do know the story, actually. Matt Cord, who's a DJ here at our sister station, he worked at Pulsations. And as the rumor goes, and correct me, guys, if I'm wrong, but didn't that robot kill someone on when it was first, right? Is that the story?
I don't know the legend? That. I don't know.
It accidentally or injured someone when it came out on its debut night. Nick, if you could do a search.
I don't think
it
killed anybody.
Yeah.
it makes sense. I mean, Terminator has showed us that the robots will rise up.
There was something horrific associated with this Pulsar. That's my understanding.
By the way, Adam, if you ever do have like a moment where you guys can't figure something out name wise around here, email Casey here. He'll find out for you for sure.
He
can be a good Philly source for
that's
anything
hilarious.
That may have slipped your mind.
Yeah, you and I are around the same age, and we grew up in obviously in the same time era. So,
it's so helpful. I drive ABC nuts with all of these Philly references, and because. They want it to be the name of a fake club because you're giving like promotion, even if the place isn't around anymore. Huh. You know, people pay ABC tons of money to advertise their clubs and products. And like this year, they said, okay, well, you know, Black-ish went to Disneyland, so you guys can do a Disneyland episode. And I said, well, you know, I only went once. And it was such a huge deal. It doesn't feel real to me. So instead, I forced them to do a Hershey Park episode.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
And they were beside themselves because they literally want people to go to Disneyland, and instead I'm recreating like Hershey Park and spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to do the Super Duper Looper. So
it resonates for here. Yeah. It's great, but it works regardless. But that attention to detail is what's so cool with Zipperhead. Were you able to contact the original? Owner?
Yeah. That was, the owner was so pumped and sent us so much cool stuff. And then, like, oddly, his daughter is a Broadway actress. So he basically said, like, you know, can you, like, just at least let her audition? And she was unbelievable. So it's so weird and full circle that the clerk at Zipperhead, who's giving Adam a hard time, calling him a yuppie and stuff, is actually the owner's daughter wearing, like, a real Zipperhead T-shirt from back in the 80s.
That's great.
It's really cool.
Adam, were you guys able to do any exteriors on South Street, or did you have to make some stuff up?
No, I had to dig through archives and get photos, and I wish I could have found. He had a couple photos from inside the store in the 80s, but I had to dig through and find some stuff of like punk stores in the 80s. I wish I would have brought my video camera. I brought it everywhere.
Yeah.
I think I was afraid I'd get mugged if I brought it, you know,
right into the city. Real quick, hold Sharon, real quick, you wanted to say something about pulsations and the
yes,
robot?
I remember that because we were going the next night to my, I was always a rock and roll girl, and my girlfriend made me go once a week. She even bought me disco clothes.
but was it
a rabbit fur jacket? Because my denim and leather wouldn't work,
wasn't. It turns out it wasn't the robot. What had happened?
No, it was the chandelier or a disco ball, but it was huge. It was right as you walked in,
killed by a disco ball.
It wasn't the robot. Yeah. It was a disco ball that killed.
And someone was killed.
I don't think they were killed, but people were injured, and they closed the club for almost a week, so okay. We couldn't go the next night.
All right. Thanks, yep. Sharon. Appreciate yep. it.
People are saying it was
Thank
a light
you.
Fixture.
Hey, and I love that show, you guys. That's a great show.
All right, there you go.
Thanks, okay. Sharon.
Adam, she loves it.
Okay.
All right, take care of Sharon and her rabbit fur coat. Are you still there, Adam?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I didn't hang up on you there.
I could probably do a thing where I could get some news footage of the disco ball firing, and that could be the night that Adam and Barry go for the bachelor party.
And you know what, Adam, it could develop into a Phantom of the Opera riff.
Oh, no.
Call in and just get every story every morning.
We can help you out, man.
That's
great. There were a couple other pop culture things that stick out in my mind in the 80s. One was when Karate Kid came out, and that sticks out in my mind because I crane kicked my friend Matt Kahn in the face and broke his tooth. And then
they've already done that.
And then also break-in. Have you done a break-in episode?
We have not. We wanted to do a break-in episode where you know, if you remember all of those kind of movies, they were, I think in Breakin' 2, they did a kind of a breakdancing competition to save the community center.
Yeah, save the community center. Yeah.
Oh, that's always the case. It's always a community center.
We wanted to do something where that we were going to do a break-in episode where the community center was bothering Beverly, so she was going to shut down the community center. We've done a lot of Barry breakdancing.
Yeah.
I think even in the episode that airs tonight, we talk about Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo, but like we've yet to go there fully, and we talk about it, but it just seems so crazy, to do a full breakdancing episode, but I'm sure it'll happen.
All right, here's another one for you I'm just thinking of right now, because if you ever watch the X Games, I mean, people are doing triple backflips on their BMX bikes and stuff like that, but the movie Rad, when we were younger, that guy did a backflip. And that was like the biggest thing, and it was the buildup of the whole movie, and then finally, at the end of the movie, he does this backflip. I don't know if there's something there for you as well.
Well, our episode next week is called Rad.
Stop it!
Dude.
you can't beat Adam to the punch.
No.
He's well ahead, clearly immersed in all the deal. I have to ask
that
you.
That speaks to how great the show is.
Go ahead.
What's really bizarre about that, I'll just add, is when I pitched, I think next week is, or maybe it's the week after, it's, next week is Rad. So when I pitched that episode, ABC said, we really don't want you to do it. Nobody knows the movie. And I wasn't going to do it. So this just makes me feel very happy that of all the things from the 80s, you say, do the BMX Rad movie. And we did it next week. So that makes me very happy.
I have to ask you, Adam, because Schooled is obviously, we know that's in production, and that's the sequel series, which is going to be, we love the episode that we saw. When is that going to be on the schedule, and do you have a date yet?
Well, it's a mid-season show, so I suspect it'll probably be on at some point in January, and it's set in the 90s, which is so refreshing and also depressing because the 90s was so long ago now, and it doesn't feel like it should be that long ago. But
right.
it's like 25 years ago, so we get to have do all of play in that whole playground of do all the 90s stuff. I'm Pump Up the Volume was something I was desperate to do on the Goldberg.
Oh, yes. Pump Up the Volume was huge, especially in radio.
For us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's it was great. Like my favorite. It came out in 1990, so I couldn't do it. So just yesterday we were talking, like, what could that episode look like? So it's, it's people say that they want the Goldbergs to be longer and have it be an hour. So hopefully people will stick around and stay for the new spinoff show, which is very similar in tone. And
it's great. It's great. Similar, so. And you have Lainey, and you have Tim Meadows, and you have
and Brian
Coach
Callen.
Who's awesome. It's got to be fulfilling because I kid you not, every day my wife and I sit down as we're having dinner and we watch the first of the repeats of the Goldbergs. Now that it's syndicated, you get it constantly. And then the bumper night is when you can take the syndicated episode right into the new episode. It is a staple. It is, and I'm sure you get the feedback now that it is in syndication. People who are fans who get to revisit it again, or who are discovering it for the first time, and enjoying it. Does that feedback reach you, or
it does? Well, it really only reaches me from Philly. The interesting is it's not a surprise. Like in Philly, we're like that's our biggest market.
Yeah,
Philly, and. In L.A., I don't hear much about it, and that repeat, I'm not kidding, plays at 1:30 in the morning.
What?
So wow. The fact that I think because Philly's such a big market, I knew we played at 7:30. It never occurred to me that it would go right into the new one. I think it's that happens in Philly because I write it for that town, and that reflects in the syndication hours.
Well,
we're on in 1:30 in the morning, so it's more like drunk people.
It's the perfect troika: Jeopardy, into the Goldbergs, into the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
You can't miss.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. Well, it's always great to talk to you, and we love these the local flavor that gets put into every single episode. But we were just intrigued by the You Got Zoo Code and featured in featuring Zipperhead and all that stuff. So cool, man. Well, listen, when you're in town, obviously we want you to come by here. But you're a very
absolutely.
Busy man, and the show is killing it, and we absolutely love it. So it's always great to talk to you.
Thank
Adam.
You Thanks, guys. Man. Thank you for any time, man.
You got it. Goldberg's on today.
Yeah!
Adam Goldberg. On the
pulsation.
Yeah, pulsation. Forever. All right, thanks, Adam. We actually have a few more calls about pulsations if you want to go to those real quick.
About the killer robot that murdered an entire group of people.
Let me go to Jackie. Hi, Jackie. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey,
Andrew. Yay, what? Jackie.
I was unfortunately way too young to go to pulsations, but my parents were there the night that I know the lady died. I remember my father talking about that.
So
but it was actually like, I'm sorry, Dad.
So Jackie, you heard that a lady did die?
Yeah, that's what I remember my father, like the lighting crushed her head and he was really upset. He was sitting across the bar from her.
So
my mother.
What did it have anything? There was a light fixture that fell down.
Yeah,
what?
Nothing to do with the robot.
Nothing to do with the robot.
Yeah,
it was a lighting fixture,
no
but
robot.
Somebody did pass away. It was a tragedy. The cops came in. They shut the club down for the night.
Wow,
man.
And just for the night though, Nick? Or
yeah, they reopened the next day.
No kidding.
That is wild.
Ew.
And the big debut night.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jackie.
I got turned away at the door at Pulsations because I went on that Sunday, Casey, where it was kid friendly. You could go. And I was not wearing, I was wearing sneakers. Yeah. And you had to wear dress shoes or
really?
Like dockside or
really?
Something like that.
I don't
even
remember.
No sneakers.
That.
Yeah,
sneakers.
I was,
even as a kid?
My family played, my family hosted exchange kids from time to time. And so we had a bunch of French kids staying with the family and they wanted to go to a club. They liked doing clubbing type of things. So we went to Pulsations and I went with them and I was not allowed to go in. It devastated me.
Nightclubs that had a teen night were always just a weird thing to me.
Well,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
When
Discovery
you were older?
Was one. Discovery on Thursday nights. That's the, oh God, it's not Tom and Jerry's. It's in Woodland. It's Tom and Jerry's. Yeah, it's Tom and Jerry's.
I don't even know if they do that type of thing
you know
anymore.
I don't think so, but there was one by us also that was, it wasn't a teen night, but it was, you had to be 18 to get in and then just 21 to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We basically just got in and drank.
Of course you did.
Like, yeah. I don't even know how they knew the difference. I guess there was some sort of wristband or something. But we definitely got around it.
I remember that happening around here, even in the mid-90s of being at a club. And it was like, you know, some people couldn't drink because they weren't old enough.
Girls could get away with it a little bit more easily than the guys could.
We somehow got away with
Sure.
Yeah, well, because the older guys would buy the younger girls drinks.
Right. What's your name, sweetheart?
Yeah. Hold on. Marissa is bringing in a note. Egypt, 18 to come, 21 to swallow.
Yeah, that was for a long time.
You know what? That's right. That was in the spots. That was in the commercials. Mm-hmm. 18 or older to 18 to get in and 21 to drink.
They took that from Domino's.
Yeah.
Did they?
I just remember Discovery was so cool because the sodas were free.
Sodas were free.
It was like five or $10 to get in. They had a bar, and they had a bar on either side of the dance floor. Bartender, Coke, Diet.
What was that place? Fubar.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fubar was at, that was like University City.
Yeah.
What about it? Did it have a teen night or something?
I think it did, didn't it?
I don't remember.
I used to do commercials for a lot of these places.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Let me go to Caroline. Hey, Caroline, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Caroline?
Not much. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
I was just calling about Pulsations because you were saying about the robot, but I was just 21 at the time when Pulsations opened, and it was the lights that fell.
We used to hang out at the pub down
the road called the Hilltop, and you know their slogan after that was "We may be small, but our lights don't fall."
Oh, that's a cheap shot.
Very, very.
I would have sent the robot over to kill him.
By the way, I went to the Hilltop one time. It was rudest bartender I've ever met.
Really?
That was right around the corner from your place in Valley Brook.
I used to live right there, right by there. I don't think it's there anymore. It was
on Route 1?
No,
yeah. It's where the Wawa is now.
I think it's still there. I think the bar is still there, but the family that owned it, there was a father, and then when he passed, the two brothers took over, and then one sold it to the other, and the one brother that owned it passed away recently, but it has switched hands. I think it became a comedy club for a while.
Okay. All right.
The building, I believe,
like 15, 16 years ago that I met that bitch bartender. All right, thank you.
That's what you want. You want a standoffish bartender.
Oh, she's just rude.
Isn't that supposed to be the person you can confide in?
Exactly.
You can converse with, and it was gregarious.
All right, hang on. Let's see if this is the case or not. I'm going to go to Dave. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Yes, sir.
What's up, Dave?
Dave! I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, we missed that.
Robot, actually.
Okay, Dave. Hey, Dave, hold on. Back it up. Start from the beginning. What were you saying now?
My friend owns the robot, Pulsar from Pulsation.
The actual robot?
Yep, he owns it. He could probably bring it to your radio station.
You've got to put us in touch with him for sure.
Definitely.
Can you hang on a second?
Yeah, take your time, man.
All right, hang on. We're going to get your information, and we're going to see if we can. Now, where does he have Pulsar displayed, or does he have him displayed?
Well, he doesn't. He was about 10 years ago. He was bringing him to functions, and he had him rebuilt, and he was in pieces, basically.
Okay.
But, I'm not sure what he's doing with it right now. I know he still owns it.
Okay. Hang on just a second. We're gonna get your info so we can follow up on this, okay?
Okay, cool.
Thanks, man. All right, so if Pulsar's still around.
You know what we should do?
I camp out for hunger.
We get exactly. Yeah. I was thinking the same. Do we just become best friends?
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Yeah, we got to bring him out to camp out for hunger. How big was Pulsar? It was small, right?
You know what? Bring up Rocky IV because that's
his name is Pulsar.
I remember it being bigger, you know, but in my memory, it's, you know, he was bigger than
4 or 5 feet tall.
Yeah,
4 or 5 feet tall,
sure.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I mean, if you stood him next to a fully grown adult, he was not as tall as Ivan Drago, for example.
But he was getting up there though, as far as like he was like a teenager maybe or something.
There
like
you go.
Yeah, there's the video. Okay.
No kidding. Okay, so we're certain that this is the same robot in Rocky IV.
Maybe that's just a legend that I had always believed.
Because I thought the Rocky IV robot was kind of small, like 2 feet tall.
I actually thought it was bigger. I thought it was like 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
Five, 6 feet tall.
No kidding.
Oh, I know. We got to look all this stuff up.
Find a picture of Rocky with the robot.
How tall are you?
Yeah.
Well, Rocky is, so that's alone, what, 5'10"?
I don't know.
5'9"?
Okay, wait. Yeah, here's a video of him. Yeah, it was about that big. It was like 5 feet tall.
It was Paulie's robot, though.
Maybe even bigger, 5-6 feet tall. Okay.
It's a robot.
Interesting. All right. Well, anyhow, the Goldbergs is on tonight, and it will be all about Zipperhead and the whole Grease thing where she goes away, comes back from somewhere totally different person. She's a punk.
So how about that? The girl who was originally playing his best friend is now a Prada model.
Yeah. That's crazy.
This is crazy, yeah.
I love that show. It's great. All right, listen, we got to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Got some bizarre file stories you might be interested in when we return. And our friends from the Union Tap were here earlier. They brought by a bunch of food, and it's a Bud Light Philly tour tomorrow night. Nick is on board 7 to 9 p.m. in Northeast Philadelphia. You won't want to miss a chance for you to win some Eagles tickets, and you got to have their award-winning burgers, including the Pig Mac and the Delphia, both of which have won awards at the Philly Mag Taste Philly competition. We'll be back in just a moment.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1999. MMR turned 31. It was the year we were introduced to SpongeBob SquarePants and The Sopranos on TV.
So what, no f***ing GD now?
Hey!
Online, we were waiting for the dial-up to connect while worrying about Y2K.
Goodbye.
American Pie, Austin Powers, and The Matrix had the box office buzzing. At MMR, the DJs had new music from these bands.
Foo Fighters, Blink 182, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nine Inch Nails, Creed, Incubus, Limp Bizkit, Live, Chris Cornell, G-Love and Special Sauce, Collective Soul,
and so many more from 1999.
Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Benari Jewelers and Exton in Newtown Square.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right. Normally, my Bizarre File stories are kind of short and punchy, but today, for some reason, I have ones that have a little more story to them.
And slovenly.
I only got to three in the last B-File. Let's see. This first one's got a little bit of meat to it. We'll start with one about a married woman in Colombia. And her lover were caught off guard when they called for an Uber to head to a motel, and the driver turned out to be the woman's husband.
Oh my God!
And I will explain how this happened. Identified only as Yimi, the woman and her lover Jesus Barrios had kept their affair secret for more than a year. But this week they were caught when they called an Uber. And Yimi's husband was unexpectedly in the driver's seat. On Tuesday, Yimi and Jesus met up in the city of Santa Marta and decided to head to a motel for more privacy.
She had no idea that her husband was driving for Uber?
No, it's not that. I'll explain. Okay. Unfortunately for the couple, Yimi was unaware that her husband had borrowed a friend's vehicle and was driving using that friend's Uber account to moonlight as a driver.
Oh.
So they were notified by the Uber app that their driver was Leonardo, and so saw no need for concern. So he was just helping out, or his friend was letting him get in a little extra driving.
Wow.
And so on. So she didn't know. She may have known that he was doing Uber driving. She didn't know that this other account.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't until they were inside the vehicle that Yimi and her husband recognized each other. What happened next has been reported differently by various outlets. Some have said that the three exited the vehicle and that the men began to fight on the street as Yimi tried to intervene.
Someone's going to get a bad rating.
Others reported that the wife and her lover simply fled the vehicle to escape her husband's anger. Yimi had been thwarted in part because Leonardo had failed to follow Uber's official policy for drivers.
Trust me, you don't want to thwart Yimi.
The company's regulations clearly state that drivers are not allowed to let others drive for them. In fact, doing so is grounds for losing access to the app. So,
yeah, there's a little bit of a vetting process that goes on, right? You would assume. Yeah,
they were busted. An iguana wandered onto a power line and knocked out electricity to a Florida nursing home, sending 20 patients to the hospital. A spokesman says the iguana was electrocuted and set off a fire on the power pole, which knocked out electricity to the Palms Care Center in Lauderdale Lakes.
The hell happened? I was watching the TV.
The facility was running on...
I was watching the Wheel of Fortune.
...on generator power, but only half of it was being cooled effectively.
Oh.
Residents who lost air conditioning were moved to parts of the facility where cooling units were working. and 20 patients removed to hospital as a precaution. Electricity was restored through the nursing home late Friday.
I was having reckless Viagra-fueled sex.
It was all because of an iguana. Here's another story out of Florida. A Florida man is accused of threatening the lives of a family who owns a business that the suspect contracted with for some work. The suspect allegedly described various scenarios under which the family could be hurt or worse. Now, a sheriff's investigator said that the suspect demanded a full refund from the victims through their family's home remodeling business. Investigators said the suspect got only a partial refund because some of the work was completed.
Right.
Well, that allegedly pissed him off. Sheriff Rick Staley said that this isn't the first time that Mark Kloss, 72 years old, has threatened people that he's hired to do work for him. But the sheriff said that Kloss took it to a new level when he sent an email to the owners of the business threatening them and their children. Kloss wrote, "Imagine yourself being attached to a time bomb, which can be triggered at any given moment. Mm-hmm. Or imagine your daughter having to spend the rest of her life wearing a veil to conceal the horrific scars caused by the acid burn to her face."
Wow. His brother Santa would not approve.
It's the second time that Kloss has threatened this family, and he's previously made threats against the owners of another local business as well.
Mm.
Court officials said Kloss refused to leave his jail cell for his first appearance, but the judge said that that the email was certainly cause for concern. Kloss allegedly went on to write, "Your family has never encountered anyone like myself, and I'm all done being a nice guy."
He's a character, that one, huh?
The victims did not want to go on camera, but through an attorney, they spoke about how frightened they are of the suspect and asked that he be ordered to stay away from them, and the judge obliged by setting the bail at $50,000. There he is.
Florida man, Florida man.
A woman's claim, I believe this is in China, a woman's claim that she fished a maxi pad out of her hot pot.
Oh, man.
Is now being viewed with a bit of skepticism after it was revealed that she discovered a similar object while dining at another hot pot restaurant the following day. The woman, whose surname is Ni, had posted footage online showing herself examining the mysterious object that she claims to have found at the bottom of a hot pot while eating at a Hidalio location. That's the name of the restaurant.
So she, okay.
After inspection, she speculates the object looks like, quote, a menstrual pad. The discovery led to an argument between Nee and the restaurant staff, with the diner demanding 1 million yuan in compensation, an amount that she later lowered to 500,000 yuan, while also breaking some of the restaurant's tableware in a fit. So police were called, though no conclusions were quickly reached over exactly what the object was and how it came to be at the bottom of the soup.
I'm a little suspicious of this.
The only thing that officers initially instructed was that Nee should compensate the restaurant for the broken tableware. In the aftermath of this incident, the restaurant did some research of its own, finding that on the following day, Nee dined at another hot pot restaurant in town and found a similar sanitary pad item.
Mm-hmm. Nee, I'm not giving you one goddamn yawn.
At the bottom of her soup. Nee has insisted that the items are not hers and that she did not place them in the soups. Instead, she claims to be currently doing a public service by inspecting the safety of the cooking oils used at local hot pot restaurants.
God bless her.
Yeah, she's doing her
part. For her civic duty.
And that is what I have for you. In the Bizarre File this morning, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a minute. Don't forget, we have a secret text reward that is up and running. You know, we should get a winner of that right now. So hopefully you've texted in the word secret to 39333. If not, do it now. You have a couple of seconds left. But Kathy, I need a number caller to give the prize to. Who's it going to be?
Caller number 17.
All right.
What a number!
215-263-WMMR. Call now. Let's see if you can win with the secret text reward. Be back in just a moment.
WMMR.
Online.
On demand.
And on the air.
Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD. And HD2. The MM Archives channel.
KG 11 on 93.3 WMMR. It's Everything That Rocks. They've performed here in our studio. And we're going to have, I think, another band playing on Friday, right, Kate?
Yeah, Gloria Sons are going to be here Friday morning.
We were just talking to Bill about that and setting that up. So I love it when we have bands in here and they play a couple songs for you and you get to hear a different version of a song.
And we break them.
And maybe you've never heard the song before and that version can kind of be intriguing to you. So that will be on Friday. Get yourself ready for that. We were looking for a winner, secret text word, today, and Kathy called up the number 17, so we will go to phone lines and see if we can find that caller. It is John, I believe. Hey, John, how you doing, man?
How's it going? You guys rock.
Hey!
Thank you, sir. All right, so do me a favor and enlighten me. What is the secret text word today?
Outlandish.
Outlandish. Correct. Hang on there, pal. We're going to take care of it. We're going to give you some tickets to see John Oliver Saturday, December 30th, 7 p.m. at the Met Philadelphia. The venue, located on North Broad Street, has been completely restored with beautiful sight lines and crystal clear sound. Tickets for all three John Oliver shows, including New Year's Eve, are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. We're also going to give tickets to P.J. Riggs, who's from South Philadelphia. And that was our texter that we grabbed randomly. And PJ's also going to get those tickets to see John Oliver. And once again, that's Saturday, December 30th at the Met in Philadelphia. So congratulations to all. And we've still got great stuff to give away, which we don't want you to miss out on. Word of the Week prize trip to Atlanta, which is pretty cool. So we have that coming up. Oh, you know what? I wanted to mention this.
Oh, you have a big event coming up.
Oh.
Yeah, my wife texted me. Where is my information? Sorry, I have a lot of
so many papers
that I eventually have to get to, but here it is. The Mother's Wish Gala. My daughter has Crohn's disease, so we have gotten involved the past several years with this group called A Mother's Wish, and my wife is on the board for it. And everybody who's on the board has a family member or, you know, that has Crohn's disease is battling this. So anyhow, we have a big event and it's a lot of fun. And it is going to be on the 20th at the Doubletree in King of Prussia. And it's the Mother's Wish Gala Casino Night. And it's a full on just tons of blackjack tables and craps and roulette. And we gamble, but we're using kind of play money. And that money that you know, the chips that you win,
yeah,
you can buy tickets with, and they go into these awesome baskets of these amazing prizes that are given away through the night.
This isn't like a bake sale type of thing that just, you know, yeah, just kind of slapped together. This is a real function, like a full night out, fancy dress,
yep,
just gambling
and
imbibing
food
yes, the whole deal. Food and booze.
Booze
and food.
No, it's Foos and Boo.
Foos and Boo. Yes.
Bernie and Ert.
Yeah, and Bernie and Ert. And anyhow, it's 5-hour open bar, dinner, music, the whole deal. And if you'd like to get that information, go to PrestonandSteve.com. Nick's got a link to it there. But tickets are a little sluggish than last year, a little more sluggish than last year. So we need to step this up. And I'd appreciate your help. My daughter would appreciate your help and everybody who's suffering with this disease because it's painful, man. It sucks.
We've encountered a lot of people who deal with this. And I had no idea it was as prevalent as it is.
I've seen at the walk that happens at the ballpark.
Yeah.
I've seen people get up and tell their story, and they had been in so much pain that they had thought about taking their own life. It's, some people, it gets that bad. I mean, just constant, horrible, evil pain in your gut.
Yeah, I know. I know somebody who basically at this point, he doesn't really leave his house or go too far from his house just because of all of the issues. He can't get on a plane. He can't go for a long drive. He does go to work, but he works right down the street from his house. So if he needs to run home, he can run home. But it's basically consumed his life.
Yeah, so we need your help. And it's October 20th, and it's a great time at the Doubletree in King of Prussia. So if you can come, I will be there. I'm hosting the event. We have special guests. It's going to be a really good time. So details at PrestonandSteve.com. We are now going to do the lesson question, and we're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets as Temple football battles ECU this Saturday noon at Lincoln Financial Field. Question I have for you this morning, what food item did Nick lie about? 215-263-WMMR. What food item did Nick flat out lie about? 215-263-WMMR. If you know the answer, you should call now. And we're going to do the trash while you are calling in to answer that.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Heritage Business Systems. The document managing equipment solution is Heritage Business Systems. Service satisfaction, reliability. That's Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Gisele Bündchen revealing that she found out 2 months into her relationship with Tom Brady that his ex-girlfriend, Bridget Moynihan, was pregnant with his baby. Bündchen says she was able to get past it all with God's help and repeated Louboutin kicks to Brady's balls.
Oh, my God.
47-year-old Justin Theroux dating 27-year-old Spider-Man Homecoming star Laura Harrier. Theroux says his concerns over the 2-decade age difference evaporated the second she got naked.
Wow.
And finally, Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin apparently got married in a quiet civil ceremony, and they did so without a prenup. Bieber, who is worth an estimated $250 million, says he didn't want a prenup because he doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood Track.
All right, wait a minute. Justin Theroux is dating that gal?
Yeah.
And Justin Theroux was with Jennifer Aniston, right?
Yes. Yeah. So he's 47. She's 27.
Wow. She's a stunner, too.
She is.
Interesting. All right. Let's see if we can get an answer to this lesson question. What food item did Nick lie about? I will go to... let's go to Brian, see if we can get the answer. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Brian, what food item did Nick lie about?
Chocolate pretzels.
Yeah, chocolate-covered pretzels. That's right,
Brian. In his defense, though, it was to protect her.
Hang on a second. We'll get your info, Bri, and we're going to give you a 4-pack of tickets as Temple Football battles ECU this Saturday at noon at Lincoln Financial Field, and it's presented by Temple Health, Sport Cancer Awareness Day and Audible for Autism Day. At the game, kids, tickets are only $10. You can visit owlsticks.com for more information. Let's delve into the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Good housekeeping.
Casey Preston said delve.
I'm going to use it. I'm going to write that down. Delve.
All right. It's a good word. It's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
If you love this, write that down.
This fall at Dunkin' with $2 any size iced coffees from 2 to 6 p.m. Try any of Dunkin's delicious flavors like maple pecan or pumpkin. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Tom Morello kicked off his solo tour in New York City on Monday night as he prepares to release his new solo LP, which is titled The Atlas Underground, and that's coming out on the 12th. Tom opened up the show by talking for about 15 minutes about his background, his days with Rage Against the Machine, his days studying at Harvard as well. Then he played a few song fragments, including part of Audioslave's Like a Stone as a tribute to his fallen Audioslave bandmate Chris Cornell. He also did a part of Ozzy Osbourne's Mr. Crowley, which he's done with Ozzy in the past. Following that, Morello performed his entire new album from start to finish, then played his Bruce Springsteen collaboration, The Ghost of Tom Joad, invited fans on stage to sing along on This Land Is Your Land, and ended with Rage Against the Machine's classic Killing in the Name. Sounds like an interesting show. It's kind of all over the place.
The classic evening with concept.
Yeah. He's going to play
Close on Magic?
Thursday night in Boston, and his new LP features guest appearances from Portugal the Man, Cage the Elephant, singer Matt Schultz from Cage the Elephant, also ex-ambassadors, Rise Against frontman Tim McElrath, and Marcus Mumford, and many more.
Just got a text that said, you read my mind. Yes, great one.
Great Delve. Word.
From Jackie.
Yeah, like Delve Chevrolet.
Love you, Jackie. All right, Billy Corgan and his partner Chloe Mendel have welcomed their second child and first daughter, named Philomena Clementine Corrigan. And their son, Augustus Jupiter Corrigan, was born in 2015.
Here's to many years of being roughed up at school.
Corgan wrote on Instagram, please welcome Philomena Clementine Corrigan, the latest addition to our family, pictured here with her brother, Augustus Jupiter. This makes 8, counting Chloe, Angel Face, Diamond Baby, Chin Chin, Ling Ling, and yours truly.
Was he drinking?
I don't know what he means by all that.
Neither do I.
If it's pets or if he's just being jokey. I don't know. He added quickly, I'm so lucky to have a great partner in Chloe who juggled raising our son, pregnancy with Philomena, whilst building her fashion line and navigating my being gone so much with Smashing Pumpkins in 2018. Oh, and then there's wrestling. What a year. The Pumpkins recently announced a string of 30th anniversary live shows to kick off on November 28th in Madison, Wisconsin. They will release their new album, Shiny and Oh So Bright, Volume 1, LP number Past, No Future, No Sun, on November 16th. AC/DC's 45th anniversary is being commemorated by the Australian government through the release of a new collection of coins.
That's pretty cool.
The Royal Australian Mint, the government agency, which is the sole supplier of Australia's circulating coinage, has partnered with Question, the National Science and Technology Center, to strike its AC/DC coins with a bolt of man-made lightning. So they're actually going to use lightning to make them. The experiment was conducted in the Cage Lightning exhibit at Questacon, which produces lightning using a Tesla coil. 10 AC/DC 50 cent pieces, all featuring the famous high voltage logos and design elements from AC/DC albums, were jolted with 3,500,000 volts of lightning.
Like 1.21 gigawatts.
Something like that. Royal Australian Mint Chief Executive Officer Ross McDermid said the Mint thought that such an iconic band deserved high voltage coins and an electrifying launch to match.
You thought they deserved lightning coins.
We weren't sure what effect the lightning would have on the coins, but we discovered that because the coins are such excellent conductors of electricity, the lightning's mark is only visible under magnification. The 10 coins that were thunderstruck out of the 30,000.
Get it?
That were made will be randomly sent to 10 customers who order their AC/DC anniversary coin through the Mint's online stores or contact center. And one final thing, set for release on November 30th, is David Bowie's complete June 25th, 2000 appearance at England's Glastonbury Festival. Only 30 minutes of Bowie's career-spanning set has ever been aired. And the new collection titled David Bowie Glastonbury 2000 features such timeless tracks as Fame, Let's Dance, Life on Mars, Changes Under Pressure, Heroes, China Girl, Ashes to Ashes, Station to Station, Golden Years, Ziggy Stardust, and Rebel Rebel, among others. The collection will be available as a double CD, DVD, triple LP, double CD, digital, and high resolution digital as well.
There's only so many formats you can release at once, right?
You're doing all of them. And that's it. But I have amusing news for you this morning. Let's take one last break. Come back in just a moment. Get with Pierre and also get that letter today for the Word of the Week prize trip to Atlanta. Walking Dead fans, you can't miss out on this. So we'll be back in just a moment with that and more.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
And of course, it's going to be beautiful weather this weekend. I'm going to Florida where it's like 95 and humid.
You're going to visit the fam?
Yeah, just me and my daughter are going. The rest of the fam's staying here, so they'll get to enjoy the lovely weather.
But that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
Daddy-daughter trip.
Daddy-daughter trip. It's going to be a lot of fun. So some thank yous today. Adam Goldberg.
Hey! That guy's awesome.
He is fantastic. And
we can be besties. I know it.
I'm telling you, he should absolutely consult you, Casey, on a regular basis. You have great ideas for shows, and of course, you know, and Kathy as well. And Nick, everybody. I think the whole show could be a good source.
I mean, us to a level, but we're not maybe the 90s, the second part. Right. But we like, I've been working down in Philadelphia for decades, but we've been on the air here for 20 years. And then, but you guys were all born in the area.
You know, I told somebody the other day, and I think that it's true, Stephen Preston, that you guys have now lived here longer than you've lived anywhere else.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I've lived the majority of my life here now.
I thought that was true, and I'm glad that it's accurate.
Yeah.
It is accurate. Okay. And also, I've gotten word that apparently Adam would want to get access to Pulsar if we get access to Pulsar.
Ooh.
So we'll see if we can make that happen.
All right. Well, we had somebody who got in touch with us said that he knows the guy who owns Pulsar, so we'll see.
He had it at his bar mitzvah, right?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So thanks to Adam for being on the show tonight. The Goldbergs is at 8 o'clock on ABC, and tonight they focus in on Zipperhead, which is pretty cool. Thank you also to the gang from the Union Tap.
Yeah.
Northeast Philadelphia. You'll find them on Comley Road. And Nick will be there tomorrow night from 7 to 9. It is the Bud Light Philly Tour. Nick, you're going to have some tickets and autographed items to give away.
Helmet autographed by Chris Long. Bring your appetite because their burgers are ridiculous. They're delicious. They're huge. And you will not leave there hungry.
And they were really nice guys and gals. So thank you guys for coming by here today and being a part of the whole thing. And they have 9 rotating craft beer taps, 15 HD TVs, outdoor seating, and awesome music entertainment all weekend long. But Nick will be there tomorrow night, and you got to try their Adelphia burger. It looks insane.
It's incredible.
We need to do today's letter for the Word of the Week, and I guess, Case?
Yabba-doo.
We're going to turn back. Well done.
You need to blur it out. I'm not
Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
R, as in Rama Lama Lama. A dingy de dingy dong.
All right, and we are going to give away this prize on Friday. It is a trip for two to attend an exclusive party on set of The Walking Dead in Atlanta, including 2 nights hotel, airfare from Philly to Atlanta, ground transportation in Atlanta, the Dead prize pack, and tickets to party with the Undead. TV's number one show of The Walking Dead returns for Rick Grimes' final episodes, and it's this Sunday, October 7th, 9, 8 Central, only on AMC. Must be at least 18 years of age to enter.
They put on big. big fan parties.
They
it's
do.
Amazing.
I want to mention this. I didn't get to it earlier. I'll make sure I hit it again, but we've been running promos for this. Camp Out for Hunger. Yeah, yeah. We're talking about it. The business challenge has been issued. Now, Subaru of America has encouraged local companies to get involved via the business challenge. Of course, they've won the largest donation the past few years, but they don't want to discourage other businesses for jumping in and really helping out as well. So here are the things. You already know this. Largest donation gets a Preston and Steve live broadcast from Your Place of Business.
Yes.
Next largest donation gets a Pierre Robert broadcast from Your Place of Business. Third largest donation gets a $20,000 advertising schedule on MMR for Q1 of 2018. And new this year, one business will be randomly selected. So no matter how much you donate in the name of a business, one business will be randomly selected to win a 36-month lease and servicing on a Canon full-color copy, print, and scan image runner advance. Basically, it's an $8,000 copier that you're going to have for 3 years.
You're getting like an office suite worth of equipment in that thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
For 3 years and servicing on it as well. And that's from Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer. So that's a pretty chunky expense of your place of business that you can eliminate if you happen to be chosen randomly, just simply by pulling together a quick food drive. If you really want to make a go at it for some of the bigger prizes, obviously go for that. Do it. We want you to be on board. But if you can't for some reason compete, well, you can still donate and possibly win a very cool prize.
That is wonderful.
So thank you to Heritage Business Systems for helping us out with that. And we'll make sure that we continue to bang the drum on that and get everybody, as many people as we can, involved with this year's Camp Out for Hunger.
Do you realize how much stuff we have coming up?
Oh, yeah. We're going to London first.
Yeah.
That's coming up in the very near future.
That's a whole other country.
So I'm going to thank.
It is.
It is.
I'm going to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also, Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow on our program, actor Ike Barinholtz will be in the studio.
Love him.
We're going to talk to our buddy Guy Fieri.
Hey.
Hey. And comedian Tim Dillon is stopping by tomorrow, too. So it's going to be a busy day, and we hope that you will join us for that. Pierre's up next. Your chance to win $1,000 on the way at 11 o'clock. Birthday Bucks Part 2. And that's just the second time today. It happens all day long. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, guys. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
To all the that want to be quiet at the Neil Young concert, go yourselves. Can't believe I can't stand up and cheer for the man you tell me to sit down. You're not a fan. Go to a library and watch somebody fiddle on the guitar. You all, you don't have a heart of gold. Keep rocking in the free world, motherfucker.
Next message.
So I recently had breakfast, and the young lady brought me my waffle, and every square had butter in it. I think I found my soulmate.
Next message.
I had the guy coming at me trying to make a left and cut me off when I'm trying to make a right. I have somebody who can't decide which way they want to go or if they want to let traffic go in front of them. You know what? It's a team effort. Let's all do dumb shit all at the same time.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.